Blog Talk Radio.
I thank it for me.
Yes, I am.
Ring bang dan 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 dan
dan dan
dan dan dan dan. Revolution, dang 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 dang.
Check
it. People down from mountain, them a make big speech. But poor people, the food not reach. I'm enough to wonder how them really sleep. Them living in the pool while the poor are feeling the heat. Red country, why oi, red country, why. The ghetto part of town, you ain't nothing but a victim. We're just trapped in a political system. There ain't no one to say let alone. If you hit the big man a gunshot, them broke your bone with stone. Boy, so a revolution, yeah. I'm on site a revolution, coming in a Babylon, yeah. A revolution. Government, what is your aim? Where is the plan? Where is the future for the younger generation? If there's no light at the end of the tunnel, well, young your stuff, I go red like hell. For man, the peas are cooked, but the rice can't swell. For no more big speech, time to come action. Crime and the violence rampant in our nation. People say it's because of suffering, son. There's got to be a revolution, yeah. What a hot a revolution, wriggling in a Babylon land, yeah. A revolution, yeah. Guns, knives and cutlass revolution. Dang da da dang, dang da da dang. All you false leaders, I brand you as traitors. Nothing but poor mongers, idol worshippers, them a sorcerers. Yo, you better come down off of your constant gripe. Stop taking poor people for a joyride. Cause all you teach is to divide and rule, and I use the people then with your political tools or school. Sure. Cause a revolution, yeah. The poor going to steal the revolution. Ring dang da da ding, dang da da ding. A revolution, yeah. What a hot a revolution. Ding da dang da dang da da dang. Whoa, whoa. No matter how them a come out and a kidnap them teeth. Yet the poor man, the food not reach. Tell them all to practice what they preach. Cause I don't want to see them all a paging speech. Whoa, cause a revolution, yeah. I'm on site a revolution. Ring down the day, down the day. A revolution.
All of America, all of America, on Friday evening, go to any big city, and you'll see blacks lined up to get into Chinatown to go to China, eat some Chinese food. Have you ever seen Chinese lined up trying to get into a black town? Somebody is not playing with a full deck. You're not playing the game to win, you're just playing. And you got to stop spending your money. So then I see, I go to various cities, and blacks got the nasty habit, when company comes, putting them in their car on a Sunday and taking them out to the white community and say, let me go out and show you some nice white homes. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Let's go out to look at the white malls. And then they come back home and say, how in the world can white folk afford all those fine homes and big houses? It's easy. It's your money. You see what I'm saying? And y'all think I'm teasing. See, they're living off of two incomes. They live off 100% of their income and 95% of yours. And you're trying to live off of 2%. It is humanly impossible for a race of people to live off of 2% of their income. And in America, you equate human worth based on what you own. And if black folk don't own 2%, that's why white racists say, black folk ain't worth 2 cents. Because we don't own anything, and human worth is equated in this country based on what you own and control. And we violate all the premises of economics. We have yet to learn how to practice group economics. And the last thing about integration is that integration got a quota system, and you need to know this. It's got a quota system. You hear white somebody against quotas, they're wrong. It's got a quota system. Anytime you get more than 5 to 8% of blacks involved in anything, whites are going to put up chains. They're going to stop you. If more than 5 to 8% of blacks move into their community, they're going to put their houses up for sale. If more than 5% of the blacks, 8% of blacks go into their schools, they're going to pull their kids out of school. If more than 5 to 8% of blacks come into their businesses, they're going to move the business out of town, cross town, out of the country. If more than 5 to 8% of blacks come into their association, they'll resign. They got a quota system. And people say, well, blacks are against affirmative action. No, they're not against affirmative action. They're against affirmative action for you. You see, they're against the set aside. Racism is nothing but preferential treatment for whites. They say they're against preferential treatment. You hear them say they're against set-asides. Jim Crow is nothing but a 100-year set-aside program for whites. So they set aside the best restaurants, the best food, the best schools for whites. They say they're against quotas. You got a quota system, I told you, in the immigration laws. Today, you still are a planned minority. You can't win. So now let me get to some solutions for you very quickly. I have a few more minutes I got left. What we're going to do across this country now is going to call Powernomics. That's a new book coming out called Powernomics, Unleashing Black American Potential. It's a follow-up to the book Black Labor, White Wealth. It'll show you in very specific terms what you got to do to be competitive. The things we got to focus on is in broad categories with specific principles. The first is a community. You cannot do anything unless you have a community. Your community is your social cohesiveness. The only power, the potential that black people have in America is your social, racial cohesiveness. If you don't have that, you have no power. Forget about everything else. That's a fact of life. You got to have a community because the community will give you your businesses. It'll give you your sales opportunities and your markets. Now, how do you develop communities? The first thing you must do is stay out of all cross-purpose issues. Cross-purpose means horizontal issues. Don't get involved in any horizontal issues. Let me explain it to you. I see the puzzlements in your eyes. First, racism is vertical. Remember this. Racism is straight up and down. Racism means I don't care whether you are the lowest income black or the highest, the best educated or the least educated. It doesn't make any difference. You're all in the same tube. Okay? That's what Malcolm X was asking. What is a black man with a PhD? Remember that saying? He answered, well, he's still a Negro. Okay? It means it doesn't make any difference. You're all in together. That's straight up and down. Horizontal issues are any issue that pertains to everybody, stay out of it. You're the weakest and poorest, most vulnerable people. Don't get involved in it. Because the only people that can benefit are those people who are directly behind where the horizontal crosses the vertical. Okay? The only people that benefit are where those 2 points cross. That's too small. You don't have that kind of energy and resources to waste. Now, what's a horizontal issue? Sexism is a horizontal issue. When you get into these various religious issues, that's a horizontal issue. Poverty is a horizontal issue. I keep telling some of my civil rights leaders, stay away from poverty. You cannot eradicate poverty. Poverty is a fix. It's a given. You're always going to have poor people. And people say, well, you're going to have poor Greeks, poor Indians, poor Lithuanians, poor Hungarians. Quit trying to eradicate poverty and try to get as many black folk as you out and leave poverty alone. But they try to eradicate something that can't be eradicated. Culturalism. That's a horizontal issue, and it pertains to everybody. Let me give you about sexism, for instance. I tell black women who always want to get into sex issues, they think that somehow that the issue is sex rather than racism. See, my great-grandmother was not enslaved because she's a woman. She was enslaved because she was black. Okay? And if you're going to get into sexism, I want black women to understand this, to keep your priorities in order. If I say abracadabra right now and sexism disappeared, you still can't go any place because you're black. And to keep it in order, remember what your mother felt. The minute she knew she was pregnant, she knew at that moment she was going to have what? A black child long before she knew the sex. So you keep your priorities straight and say, since my color came before my sex, I'm going to keep it in that order. You always say black first. So stay out of those cross prepositions. I'll explain all the next time I come back out here on a Power Economics workshop or something. But that's very important. I can show you all the problems you got with that. And see, but once you stay out of those horizontal issues, like I tell some of my Muslim friends, I said, don't be worried about pushing Islamic faith. Push your skin color first and stay aligned with your peoples. And I tell them, the people in the Baptist church, quit worrying about about being a Baptist and worry about being black. And again, I have to give credit to your minister. It seems like he's one of the few in the country who understands that. That you put who you are and as a people before you start talking about what denomination you belong to. And especially since most of the denominations on the earth all work together to enslave black folk, all of them pimp and hustle black folk. The Catholics, the Protestants, the Baptists, the Jews, and everybody else got black folk. But what we're going to do then is start, once we get past building these communities, then we're going to start getting into what we call practicing, building alternative economics.
Greetings, welcome to the Chef Rob Show. Yeah, I'm going to keep playing some of that. Keep playing some of that Claude Anderson stuff. And as a matter of fact, I just begun to get a lot more clips, being able to go ahead and bring in a lot more clips. It was kind of hard at first because that's how I usually do my show. That's how I used to do my shows a whole bunch of other times where I would just have a lot of clips going because I believe in education. A lot of us that have a misunderstanding about our history and who we are and accept what we've been taught. That just feeds in a lot of stuff that Dr. Anderson is saying. We're not, we got to deal with what's on the outside, then we'll add that first. And I think that's the biggest problem, why we can't unite. We find so many other issues to get involved with that, and also we're bombarded with stuff to tell us how we should be. But I said tonight would be open mic. I wanted to say that little part there, and I'm going to keep on pushing that. Brother Jerome, is that you, man?
Good evening, Brother Chef, Brother Rob.
You stumbling with that, man. How many times I got to tell you about that, man? But it's all right. I'm all right. How you doing, man?
Can't complain.
Can't complain. We all got complaints, man.
No, I just said I can't complain. I didn't say that.
We'll start complaining. What's your complaint, man? You got something you want to complain about.
I said I can't complain.
You can't? So your life's perfect?
Oh, I mean, no, it's never be perfect. Never.
You sitting with everybody, man? Is everybody there?
I'm holding back,
Wait. Is everybody there? You said you're going to get them all to come at me?
Got a few of them here.
Uh-oh. Once you got the badge of courage on, huh?
That's what it's all about.
Even if you sound, out there and you ain't got nothing to back it up, you just stick with it. I like that. That's cool. I love that. I'm wrong, but I'm going to keep on going and convince everybody else that I'm wrong.
Are you referring to yourself there? Or?
Boy, you go. Hold on now. You choking me. Something terrible here. Ooh. Damn well I'm referring to myself. Because one thing, if you ain't learned by me by now, if I run my mouth, it's about something I know about. I don't throw no bullshit into it. I make up something to make a point. If I don't know, I look it up. I research it.
I'm with you.
I love to read. Excuse me?
No, I'm with you.
How can you say that, man?
I'm not against you.
You're not against me?
No, I'm not.
I'm gonna hold back on responding to that. But you know, my thing is, like I said, I don't go ahead and push out no false information. And I come across something that go ahead and it works out, and I mean by working out, where you can see it, you can feel it, you can touch it, that kind of stuff. You know, reality. A scientific experiment almost. You know, you go here and you do whatever and write and document the data and make sure it works. Some of that other stuff that you be talking about, man, I'd be like, man, what the hell? That shit didn't make no sense. So you got some stuff to make sense tonight, Jerome?
Anything in particular that you have that I've shared with you that did not make sense?
Hell yeah. A lot of that shit that make no sense. But you can go ahead. You bring up one. Go ahead, Drunk. You, as a matter of fact, I'll take that back. It wasn't that you didn't make a lot of sense. You made some sense, but a lot of times you didn't make no sense. Or when I inquired about certain issues, you didn't give a proper response. You didn't answer the question. You start talking in circles. So can you go ahead? You know, it's open mic. You can talk in circles if you want to right now. Let's see how that adds up today.
No, I'm going to be honest with you. I never talk in circles.
Really?
Never.
What did you? Okay, Jerome. Now you talked to me earlier today, man. What did you say about Santa Claus, man?
Well, I mean, what I was saying to you that figurative as a word, the as far as the person's name, that is not fiction. Now, as far as his reputation or what he did or what he does, yeah, we can say that that's not factual.
Santa Claus is not. Break, say that again.
I said that it is the name Santa Claus does represent a individual. Whether or not he came down a chimney, flew on a sled, we're not dummies. We know
man,
that he. We know that that part is not true.
Oh, you just said something. We're not dummies.
Talk to me.
Dude, you on the train again? Doing that to me again?
No. You're trying to. We're talking about something that we know that a man can't go down a chimney, that a man cannot ride in a sled. Okay.
And two men can't have a baby, so they make up that story. You know that's
well,
they,
what's
so
this
they
about
throw some
men having a baby. Where'd that come from?
Say that again.
There's something about two men having a baby.
Oh, but you know. It's okay, I'm gonna go ahead and deal with that Santa Claus thing then. That's what I told you.
No, you mentioned something about two men having a baby. Let's talk
about
that.
We'll get to that. Hold on.
Just open mic.
Hold on. Let me go ahead so you understand. You know, clarify that so you understand what I'm saying. I brought up the thing about Santa Claus with you because I said, hey, look, Santa Claus and this Jesus character got the same thing in common. You know, they both know when you're sleeping. They both know when you're bad and good. You know, they're going to reward you for being good. You know, same damn concept. Okay? And then you got your other buddies. You know, you're always talking. You're trying to defend your book. You're always trying to defend your book. But then I said two men can't have a baby. So that's why I asked you every time I talk to you, who is Cain's wife? So almost every so-called biblical scholar throws in some crap. Okay, one guy told me that she came from a far-off land. Okay, now that sounds ridiculous. You know, it's always a far-off land. What far-off land? From where? Okay, so but this book is telling you that, hey, look, Adam and Eve, the first two people there. Okay?
Yeah.
Adam and Eve is supposed to be the first two people. So first, that means there ain't nobody else around. They're supposed to be Adam and Eve.
Well,
so how
I mean,
she come? How his wife come from a far off land? Also, I heard other individuals say, "Hey, look, that Cain married his sister, and then somebody also told me Cain had sex with his mama." Now, dude, now come on.
So, well, let me ask you a question.
Oh, see that? Deal with that. Who was Cain's wife? You ain't
no,
never.
No, I
want to
deal
one.
With that. I want to really deal with that. Now, you brought up some points that you feel.
I feel.
I let you finish, didn't I? That you feel are not adequate to the question that you are referring and asking. Now, within that, you know that you do believe the earth was populated. Am I correct?
I keep going, Jerome. I want to see how you tie this in to going ahead and explaining who Cain's wife was. Go ahead. Keep going. I'm not going to say you're correct or not. You just keep on going.
I just need you to answer my question.
Excuse me.
Do you
go ahead, Jerome. Don't ask. Don't go. See, because either I ask you a question, you lead to another one. You still do not answer my question. Who was her name? No.
Notice
one thing. I've been sticking with that same question. You can't answer it, and you come back with more questions. Why can't you answer
that question? If I tell you my name is Joy,
there you go again.
Does that make me a different person from the person that you know me?
Jerome, who was Cain's wife, Jerome?
So you keep going to other levels and other areas.
Now,
you can ask me a question and I'm supposed to answer, but when I ask you a question, you tell me that I'm not entitled to an answer.
See, because you're lying right now, Jerome. You're lying. Now, stop lying. Now, here it is. I asked you that question a long time ago.
Then you tell me I asked you that question just like you did
tonight.
How can I answer your question?
Wait. Hold on. Then you start coming with other questions. Now, I will answer your question, but I still had almost the same one question, and how many other questions you threw? You done threw a bunch of different inquiries at that same question and not blessed your question. You did not answer my question.
Okay,
you didn't
I'm
think about
answer
that,
your
Jerome.
Question. Let me answer your question. The answer to your question that I have no clue to what his wife's name was. Now, can you respect that? Why are you laughing?
Because. Go ahead, finish.
No, why are you laughing?
Because, man. Keep going,
okay.
Bro. I'm always going to be laughing. You know that. You just see me, man.
What I'm heading to is that we know that the earth was populated. Of course, we were not there, so we cannot say whether or not it was his cousin, his sister, whomever.
Stop.
Why are you
stopping? You taking this book as historical fact, as real, and so what you did, what you did what I just said earlier. You added someone else. Now you added his cousin. How would he have a cousin if it was? I didn't even add anybody.
What I said to you.
You said he could have been his cousin. Now I can edit these things, and I can come back and go ahead and show you that. But then I have to do what
you're only
editing right now.
You're only editing what you want because you're not
here.
That
ain't got nothing to do with the issue. Who was Cain's wife? Stick with that.
Okay, and I told you who she was.
You didn't tell me who she was.
Yes, I did. See,
you read your book.
No.
Go get your book.
Edit it back, and then you'll hear what my response was.
You said you don't know. I have no clue.
I would be guessing. Okay, now if you want me to speculate and tell you who I think, then I will do that.
No, I don't do that because that's you're already making it worse.
So what you did was on those others that gave you either what they thought or what they believed.
Remember, keep that word in mind. I'm going to give you a definition in a minute.
But what you did was twisted on them by stating that, okay, how are you going to say who it is? How can they say if they weren't there? How many years ago was that?
I don't know nobody that was around then.
Name could have been Spake. It could have been Jade. It could have been Kelly.
Oh, you tripping, man. Look at man.
Well, it could have been. That's all I'm saying.
But that book is a fact. That's a fact. That's historical. That's what really actually happened. Is that correct?
When you say that, what are you saying actually happened? Why is that so significant? No, I'm saying not so much that the incident could have happened, but the name. Why is that so significant?
Okay, let's forget her name. Forget her name. Okay, we still talk about her. Well, what was her mama's name? We forget her name, but what was her mama's name? Where exactly did she come from?
Well,
that's
came,
my the whole thing is who
from,
is she? Forget the name. You okay? It's a woman.
You know how you asking all the questions. Let me ask a question. Can
but
I get
you don't
want to
answer none.
I've tried to answer as honestly as I possibly can. You don't want
to. You missed my whole point. If you can't go ahead and explain these characters, why are you still going ahead and worshiping these characters and going ahead pretending
Kane's wife?
What?
She has no significance in my life.
What did you say?
She has no significance in my life.
And the rest of the book
makes
sense.
You know what brought her? Listen, what brought her to the light to me was you.
Wow. You
proved
my point.
You, listen to say, you birthed her.
I put her in a book. Is that what you said?
No, you birthed her, though.
I put her in a book.
You understand
just
what
saying,
I'm
that
saying?
Just, look, it just shows that, hey, look, you Bible thumpers don't pay attention to what you read.
Now, are we Bible thumpers or bumpers? Which one is it? Or you just call
well,
it
a little
city?
Bit of both. A little bit of both. A little bit of both.
What's the difference?
All right, what's the difference?
A bumper and a thumper.
What's the difference?
I don't know. I want to know what you're calling me.
You're a Bible humper, you know. Yeah.
Now I'm a humper. So, I mean, I know that is a significance to you, and that's understandable.
Significance to me? It's significant to me. Who deal in reality? You got to deal with reality. This is why black folks got a problem. That's why I played that clip earlier. To show
and
you
I
one of the problems of black
folks. I respect that clip. But what I'm saying to you is that how is this going to help us if we're getting caught up on whether or not something that far back is either true or not true?
So you telling me I shouldn't get caught up on that something that happened that far back. But Bible humpers are
caught
up. Why?
No,
that
I said,
far
why?
Back. Caught up on that. So that don't make no sense, Ron.
Huh?
That don't make no sense. You telling me, hey, look, why should we get caught up on what happened way back then? And you just went to church on Sunday. You caught up on that. I'm trying to tell you it's not real. Let's move on because we got more pressing issues. And this, we need to go ahead and deal with our color first. Not that kind of stuff. If you were dealing with your color first, you wouldn't have went to that church. You to go ahead and grab some real history books by some real anthropologists. Some
and
real
then what would I do after that?
Instead of go ahead pushing the Bible.
Now, what
up
would
and
I
book.
Do? Tell me what I should do after I get this real history and this real anthropology.
Real history. Yeah, I think
I'm
definitely.
I'm asking you a question. I'm not trying to be.
Oh, well, I'm trying to answer your question. See, because I know what you're doing, Jerome. You keep on trying to flip it on me, but you still don't answer my questions. But go on ahead.
I'm trying. Every time I've answered your question, you say my answers are about Bible thumping or Bible humping. Or what was the other one you called me?
I don't know. Bible pumping. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
That's why we have that power, that equal right that says that freedom. See, you don't want anyone to oppose on you your freedom to choose what is right is what is wrong. Now you may say deep down in your psyche that you have all the proof. You believe that. You have all the proof that says that all the people that do not believe in what you believe are I don't know, what would you call us people? That's
ahead,
not
bro.
Me saying that I don't believe what you believe. It's saying that, you know, I do have the power to choose my own career. You had the power to choose your own career, and other people do too. That makes sense?
No. Hell no. I did, but
it
didn't
make sense.
No. The last part I did, but the beginning, you know, it's still some more Jedi mind bullshit, like I keep telling you. Okay? You still, no matter what you, each time you go ahead, each time you open your mouth to this subject, you go ahead let me finish. You're doing your best to defend it and not trying to go ahead and clarify it. You trying to defend it but not clarify it. I'm not trying to impose my views on nobody. What the biggest thing is, I go ahead, I don't say nothing. I started doing these shows because I got sick of people going ahead and with all these little pamphlets and books, and you going to hell because you don't believe and blah, 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 blah. I ain't never told your ass you're going to fucking die because you believe that bullshit. I ain't never told nobody. And it burns me up when people come at me with that. It makes me mad. Just because you don't go ahead and have me some shit with this blonde hair, with this blue-eyed Jesus bullshit and tell me I'm supposed to go ahead and follow this shit and go ahead and turn my back on all people and the atrocities associated with hell. If you read that book, you need to read that book and see how many slave references are in that damn book. You're overlooking reality. And it's when I go ahead and I got to encounter these people when I go ahead and do business, I do this, do such, and just be social. The majority of the crowd is trying to go ahead and tell me that I'm crazy. When they stand around, praise the Lord, and I just walk away. What's the matter? You don't believe in God? Get away from me with that. So I don't have all the proof, but common sense should set in at some fucking point. You get me?
So I'd like to ask a question, or propose a question to you that, in light of you being enlightened, and as you grew, you didn't just wake up one morning and all of a sudden the knowledge of the universe.
No, knowledge, you don't get it all. I ain't say I got the knowledge of the universe. Don't throw words in my mouth. Here it is right here. It was a gradual process. It was introduced to me just like the Bible shit was introduced to me. And this stuff started making more sense because it was going ahead and seeing why we got as many problems as we got. One of them is because a lot of us are following around this imaginary characters. And then the imaginary characters, when you go ahead and you look into it, it's like, no. These are white folks who put themselves in this story and have you running from them. That's another reason. Listen to that clip earlier, brother. He was explaining why we got problems. One of the reasons is religion. And it's actually one of the biggest reasons. Let me take this other caller, brother. Hold on.
Uh-oh.
Hey, brother, how you doing? Is that you?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
Been at a conference all day long.
Yeah? What about?
An African. I was at the conference of university that's close here to me, where they had Africans from all over the place was there having some, discussions.
What were the discussions?
Different,
sir?
Things, acknowledging the content, the declaration of global African diaspora, reassessing Pan-Africanism in the new millennium. You know, having some discussions.
I wish I could have listened to that.
Had some people there from Brazil and so forth.
How was it? Was it productive? Did you learn anything? Did you think they made some strides there?
Yeah, I met the chief in Dubuque. The Henry Minister, Federal Ministry of Tourism, Culture, and National Orientation for the National Republic of Nigeria.
Wow. You hear that, Jerome?
Yes.
Okay. Hey, Brother Pianchi, real quick, I want you to come back to that, but do you have a question for Brother Jerome? Because you post some stuff in the chat room.
Jerome is heavy.
Okay, Jerome. Jerome's pretty heavy.
Well, I mean, I just, like I said, I'm not trying to cut the brother off. I mean, I'm as real as you're real, and you know whether or not you believe that. That I believe in white power? No, I don't believe in white power. You know, I'm just as black as you are.
Mm.
Okay?
On what days?
thanks. That's very encouraging.
you ain't black as me on Sunday.
What does that have to do with color?
You ain't black as me on Sunday, because ain't no damn way you're going to get me in no church looking up there in the walls and you get the little white white angels and your white Jesus.
Why
and
would you know if I have white angels in our church?
I'm the devil because I question them images up there.
But how would you know this? And
you've
never been there?
I ain't said, when did I tell you I've never been there? I'm telling you I've been. This is why I'm an atheist today, because I used to go to church.
Sir, where's my church at?
Huh?
Where's it at?
Why? What you going to go here? You going to check on me or something?
No, that's...
The parishioner? Was he obedient? No, man, that ain't important. No.
It's important of what you're saying, that you know...
Is there such thing as black olive?
Of course. Yeah, there's black olive.
There are. There's no black olive.
Pardon?
There's no black olive.
Jerome?
Is that true, Robin?
Well, they say they're black, but they actually don't really look black when you look at them. They just look real dark brown.
So you're saying that's not true, then?
Yeah,
they purple.
They got a real dark brown of purplish. Yeah, purplish look to them, but you know they ain't black.
Okay.
I've seen a lot of them.
Jerome, do you believe in the Exodus story?
When you say the Exodus story, you mean what? What story is that?
Exodus.
When Moses was running out of away from the Pharaoh. And he parted the water so that his people can go across.
Ooh, now that's a good one. That's a good one.
Stay out of that, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
Do I believe that? I mean, I can't say. I can't say that I truly believe, no.
Is it possible that some things in the Bible is not true and some is quite obvious not true?
Well, I mean, some might be as far as symbolism, yes. I would say. No,
not symbolism. I mean, just plain ain't damn true. It don't make no sense. It's just scientifically, literally impossible.
Well, I mean, seeing is believing.
Seeing is believing. Yeah, I've yet to go ahead and see any place where the water's parted. So, yeah, can't explain that to me. You're wrong.
Well, I mean...
Is that a true story?
I mean, I can't say.
You know, Dr. Clark also asked that question. He was like, how can...
I wasn't there. I don't know. I mean, if it happened...
Well, what is true?
You say what
is true? In that book of those stories.
What is true?
Ooh, you should know that right off the bat, Jerome. Come on, you're slipping. Where you preach at?
Well, can I ask a question,
at, man? You should know that right away. What's true in that book, Jerome? That's a good question.
No, I need to ask this question.
Oh, see that he said what is true. Get with his question first, Jerome. Come on, you're doing it again. What did he just ask you one?
Yes, I do believe the Bible to be true.
So you believe that the Pharaoh chased after Moses, and Moses got to the river. He got to the sea and poured the water on him and his people. Went on across on dry land, and then he turned around, and the Pharaoh chased after him. Then the water came and drowned him. You believe that?
Yes, I do.
Mm.
Okay. All right, Jerome. So, what's your question?
Do you believe in the Holy Quran?
It's the same book.
Do you believe in the Holy Quran?
No.
Okay. So you say that book is what?
It's the Bible.
No, but what do you say that book is?
I just told you.
has no significance. It's a joke. It's a bad story. What do you think?
A little of all that.
Just a little. What's the other? How much is a little? 25%.
You can take all that and make 100%. So
you're saying that whole book is 100% a waste of time.
Waste of time. Yep.
Okay.
But it's the Bible. It's got the same characters. It's got a few things that's a little different. It's pretty much the same book.
What do you think of the Black?
You read the Quran, you see there's references to Jesus in the book. So man, come on.
When Pharaoh was chasing after Moses, what were they? Were they on foot or riding horses or in chariots?
Horses, chariots, foot. Oh, now
horses
yard.
And chariots.
Pardon?
Oh, okay.
I said both. All three.
All right, so. When he parted the water, they just stepped right on out there and walked on across. And stepped right on dry land on the other side and went on about their business.
Well, I mean, do you believe that? So you're saying the whole book.
Question, great, Jerome.
No, we're just talking about this particular story.
But I'm saying, if you're telling me that the whole book has no validity.
You didn't answer his question.
No, I asked you. We just asked you about that particular story, Jerome. Is that how you visualize that it happened? He came up to the edge of the water, stuck his hand out, and the water parted. And they scurried on across to the other side.
Yes.
On dry land.
Yes.
Just walked right on out there, like walking.
Yeah, I mean, I believe it.
Well, do you know that the average depth of the Red Sea, you know what that is?
Then or now?
What do you mean, then or now?
I mean,
always
you,
have been then. If it's now, if it's now, it would be less now. It would be less deep now than it was then. Remember, there was no.
You know the measurements in a time where the system was totally the opposite of what it is now.
Really? How do you know that?
Right. How do you know that? See, I'm asking. You asking me the same question I'm asking you.
Well, one reason you can go.
No, I wasn't there.
One reason you.
Now, if we
one
know
thing
somebody
you
that
can go
there,
to the bottom. Jerome, listen. You can go to the bottom of the sea. You can see things that go back thousands of years. That's laying on the bottom. They're not covered
Where's
up.
Where's the Red Sea right now?
Huh?
Where's the Red Sea right now?
What do you mean? Where is it? The same place as it was before. There wasn't no place.
Right,
it's right there. It's right there east of Egypt.
So what's in it right now?
The water.
Same water.
The water that's been on Earth.
No, I mean the same water that was here then.
Yeah, the same water. The water that's been on Earth. Water that you drink. Same water.
Mm-hmm.
Water that you go into the toilet and piss out. And the minimum depth.
Mm-hmm. Is
the
what?
Maximum depth of the maximum depth of the Red Sea is over 7,000 feet.
Uh-huh. And the minimum?
The minimum depth of the Red Sea is about 1,600 feet deep.
Okay. So where was this crossing supposed to have taken place?
You should be telling us that.
No, because he's telling me everything.
Let's say it occurred at the minimum depth, and let's say it occurred at a depth of 800 feet. So that means that they came up to the water, parted the water, then they would have had to go down a shelf, straight down 800 feet, to where it leveled out, went across, to the other side, then climbed up a shelf 800 feet. Horses don't like to do that shit. And a horse pulling a chariot surely can't do it. Because it will swap ends on them and kill them. You ever rode a horse?
Many times.
So you know horses don't like going down rocks. Horses, matter of fact, don't go down rocks. Especially if they shoot. Horses don't work. You can't, for a horse to maneuver around on a blacktop street that your cars drive on, they have to have special shoes. Let alone rocks.
Right.
So they went down this cliff with a minimum of 1,600 feet, but we're going to give them the benefit of the doubt and say 800 feet. Men, women, and children, elderly people and everything, with the pharaohs running after them.
And they get away.
And they get away.
No losses.
And here's another point, Jerome.
Mm-hmm.
Why did they go across the sea when they could have just walked around dry land on the northern end of it?
You see, yeah, that's always a good question.
Hmm?
Well, that's not a good question. I don't think that's a good question.
I know you don't.
Well, at the point where they would have came out of the city.
Well, I mean, maybe they would be.
And straight east would have been dry land. They wouldn't have ran into no water unless they intentionally ran in that direction.
So you're saying that the author, let me ask you a question. Who is the author of the story?
Who's the author of the story?
That's what I was told when I was.
I'm told that it's the word of God.
No, but who is the author? If you're saying that it's not the word of God, who is the author?
I didn't say it wasn't the word of God. I'm questioning the validity of something like that happening.
I respect that, but I'm asking you specifically because Rob is saying that it is a faggot, maybe.
No, that's not what I said. Well, I was telling you what when I was in high school, my black history teacher said, "Hey, when somebody asked him who wrote the Bible, he said some faggot monks."
Well, you know, the whole point is that. You got two things here. You got the logistics of people, and how many of them was it? 6 million?
Oh, wasn't it 400,000? Oh, 6 million?
Yeah.
Wow.
About 6.5 million. You know, 600,000 plus men, women, and children. I think it was. So you're talking about at least 600,000 to 6 million people going. If they stood hand to hand, they could have formed a heck of a long line. But let's stay away from that. But all these people going
to
come
out. Wait a minute. Something else just came to mind. If you had 6 million people going down there and they sent the army, they had 12 million in the
Well, you know
line?
What really could have, you know what, Rod, would have really could have happened? Pharaoh could have went around the other side and helped them up. Oh, he had plenty of time to do that.
Yeah.
He could have went around the other side and helped them up.
And that's what, you know, and it's supposed to, look, and back then, from what I read, what I saw, you know, there was some pretty good military strategists around there. Why would he keep on following you? Why wouldn't I cut you off? Okay.
Yeah,
Pharaoh
could have went around the other side and helped them up.
He could have boxed you into the water. So now you tell me just one single file line over there, you know, that don't make no sense.
Now, if he wanted them to stay down there, actually, if Pharaoh was stupid enough to follow them that way, he deserved to drown. But
right.
This particular pharaoh is one of the best in the world, one of the best military tacticians that the world has ever seen, if they're talking about the same one that I know. And according to his name, they give him Ramesses.
Right, right.
Yeah, well, that was Ursa Mahat Ra Sep Tepen Ra Ramesh Umeri Amun. He was a bad dude. Intelligent. So he would have had time to go around the other side and actually throw ropes down to him and help him up. Of course, that would have took some time, too. Wonder how long it take to pull 6 million people up out of a hole.
Now, you're saying that the book says there were 6 million people.
Well, what's the minimum amount it says? Do you know?
No, I don't. No, I don't.
Well, let's say it was 600,000.
Does the book say?
Hey, where you got where your people at? I hear people back
right,
there, man.
They right here with me. They right here.
Ask them. Tell them to check it. Tell them to check. How many people was involved in leaving?
This book really makes me laugh. When I heard somebody tell me that they got their Bible dictionary, that was hilarious.
Come on now. What's funny? What's funny here?
A Bible dictionary?
They didn't have no Bible dictionary back then, but what I want to know, let somebody look at that. You got your folks there. Pull that up. Go on the internet. Find out.
Yeah, because we ain't heard nothing about none of the people back there going and telling me who Cain's wife is. So hopefully they can explain this one.
Yeah, but you still stated that there was an amount, and does the Bible actually specifically say what that amount is?
Why are you asking? Well, you got your biblical scholars there. Tell us. Break out.
Yeah,
you're
supposed to know.
You're going to defend the book and say it's real, but you can't explain it. Yeah, this makes it sound crazy.
Well, let me see here.
Let me just ask a question here.
Uh-oh. You can't answer.
Well,
but
before we go there, let's just... from what I just told you, of course, I want you to look it up yourself. Don't believe what I say. It's best to research yourself. But Pianca ain't going to hardly say anything that he can't prove. But as I said before, isn't that story kind of suspected?
Well, I mean, my question has not been answered. It's a very simple question.
What is it?
The question is that... Do you believe that the book is 100% fake book? Just a story.
I think maybe about 2%.
2% what?
True. And, you know, I'm going to tell you something else. Yale University has a Bible, and they say none of it true. I mean,
so
that, Yale, that's where president
did you believe?
Where,
can you tell us what that
president
is?
That's what president graduate from now.
We want to know that 2%. My group here would like to know what your 2% is.
What, that's true?
Yeah, that you believe it's true. So you do believe.
Well, from the name, I know that there's names like Taharqa. That's true. There was a Taharqa. And Moringa. There's an Exodus 15, 20, and 25. Where it talks about 20 to 25, where it talks about bitter waters made sweet. And what they use to do that is called moringa. That's what they're talking about that. So that's, you know, that plant does exist. I know for sure.
Oh, the burning bush. Burning bush
Exodus
does
Exodus 23:14 and 16, where they talk about the Feast of Harvest, and they go on to say that in the Feast of Harvest, the first fruits of your labor, well, that's nothing more than Kwanzaa. They still celebrate first fruits in many African societies today in West Africa. There in Cape Coast, they do it around September. So that's true. So, yeah, there's some things in there that they talk about where they're borrowing from other people is events and celebrations that are, you know, that are for real. But
that's
these people
only,
that,
that's the only thing out of the whole book that you believe. Now, let me ask you another question, then.
in the beginning, which is Adam and Eve, do you believe that there is an Adam and Eve, or even Rob did mention that that Cain, there was this female. So do you believe that there was an Adam and Eve?
Do I believe there was an Adam and Eve?
Yeah.
There's Adam and Eve in the Bible, literally, this story.
Hey, literally, you mean what?
In real life.
You say there is a Adam and Eve in real life, or?
No, I say there's an Adam and Eve story in the Bible, but literally, his story is not true, no.
So Rob's question about Cain is really irrelevant.
Wow!
If there is no...
give me a key to that door.
If my question is irrelevant, then the whole book is irrelevant. Because how you going to go here? You going to skip over this story? See, this is another issue I got with you.
I didn't say it was irrelevant. I'm just...
Wait. You can choose and make
the thing
real.
You're
choosing. You're picking and choosing.
Real. But you
have it's relevant. How can you go to the next chapter without dealing with that woman? Come on, man.
2%
Well, let's look at this.
And the rest.
How about the Noah story?
Right.
Oh man, that one I really like to tell.
Talk to me. I missed you on that one.
How about the Noah story? Was that true?
Bring
40 days and 40 nights.
No, let me answer your question.
Yeah.
Did they find the ark?
No.
Yeah, the boat. Does the boat exist?
No, they found it. They found that the new ark is on the side of the what we call the Great Pyramid, Akhet Khufu.
Well, let me ask you a question. Seeing how you mentioned the pyramids, how did they build the pyramids?
Yeah.
Let's change
these people were paid to build the pyramids. There were no white called Jews over there building pyramids.
No, what people? Who are these people?
These were the Africans.
They had
these
the
Africans.
People
they were paid to build the pyramids. These were no slaves.
The contracts exist.
How did they do it?
The contracts exist, and the place where the workers resided, they're still there today, you know, cut out inside the mountains. So it was built with and here's another point too. There's, you can see where, you can go down in the Sudan in Moro. Well, I tell you what, there next to Seneferu's pyramid, there's Honi's bent pyramid where they started up at the wrong.
Hold on, brother Pianki. See, Jerome's under the impression that the only pyramids are in Egypt. So explain that, break that down to him before you go to the other piece.
Mexico.
Well, there's pyramids, and there's over 90 pyramids in southern Ethiopia.
So in explaining that the pyramids are were they made, were they delivered? Now, if you can believe the myth of the pyramids, why can't you believe that
myth?
The Bible
ain't
cannot
no
be true?
There ain't no myth. There ain't no myth of pyramids.
I've personally been in
pyramids.
Yes.
How did they make? How did they build the pyramids?
Well, you said it was
with
a myth, Jerome.
Huh?
They build them in stones. You can go into Neferu's pyramid. You can see the stones today. These,
so you're saying
stones.
They know where the pyramids came from?
No mortar.
Wait. Hold on. Brother Pianki. Now here, if you can listen to what Jerome's saying, he's giving reference to some aliens or something came down and brought the pyramids.
When you go ahead
and you look at that pyramid, these are the oldest structures known to man. And when you look at them, and then you look at
the... The astronauts can see them from outer space.
Yeah. But you got pyramids in almost every part of the planet except Europe. And the oldest ones are in Africa. So what Jerome is going ahead and be feeding into is it's some mystical shit brought him down here, and that's the only place. But you got stuff that resembles pyramids here in North America. So
well,
they just travel from around the planet.
Also, Jerome, the pyramid that was built by Imhotep in Saqqara, That's still standing there today. I see it all the time. It's in a dilapidated condition, though, the five
And who,
the five
Who's the architect? The architect Emotep built it for
Zosier.
Here's the thing that this the thing.
Well, hang on for a second. Let me get back to this slut.
Go ahead, bro.
Now this thing about this slut, where it covered all the earth, everything. Well, you know, Mount Kilimanjaro, which is nicknamed the Mountain of the Moon. Elevation is 19,000 feet above sea level, and Mount Everest is 29,000 feet above sea level. So, if these objects were covered with water, my question is this: where it happened to all of the water?
Oh, see, you're bringing it more to light. See?
Okay, that's a good question. Now,
now if water dries up, it changes states. Right, you change from a liquid to a gas.
Let me ask you a question then. While we're on that subject of water.
Hey, see, and you hear that, Pianchi? He ain't going to answer your question.
No, I'm going to ask your question.
Some Jedi mind stuff.
I tell you what we do. When you don't have the answer, just say, I don't know.
No. Let me just ask you this question. Do you believe?
No, you don't know. You don't know. So you're going to make up some more stuff like the Bible does.
I'm not a boat
maker. People going here supporting it, made up stuff.
Do you believe the Titanic existed?
That ain't got nothing to do with...
I believe the Titanic existed?
Yeah.
It still does exist today.
Okay, so if a Titanic could be built to that size and that capacity, why is it that we feel that back there in that time, and the pyramids existed how long ago?
There are pyramids still around today in a lot of places, Jerome.
No, I'm not talking about today. I'm talking about back in the time when you say all of these things, the ark could not be done, the water could not be parted, a snake could not talk, all of these things. How could you say this when you don't know?
That's my point about no snake. Now, I didn't go there. But here's the point. Pyramids are still there today, Jerome, and they also...
I'm agreeing with you.
Wait a minute, let me show you something else, Jerome. Hang on for a second. They also built these little virtual dolls. These people are very crafty. You know, you can go into the Cairo Museum and you can see little images of mermaids. You can see images. They got boomerangs. They got fish hooks. They got these dolls, you know, like little soldiers. And they got a depiction of these people in a scene where they're masons and they're cutting stone. And the stones that they're cutting for the pyramid. I mean, it's just as if you, I know you've seen these, when you're a child, you go out and buy these, you know, like old McDonald's farm and all that stuff. You got cow here and sheep. You got the farm. You got the tractor and all that. Well, they built that. They got depictions just like that, too, that they built, showing the people cutting these stones out for the pyramids. They was masons. And you can see the tools that they use, the chisels, they're still there. Also, they got some Jerry Curl wigs hanging in there also. But they got the mallets that masons use on the jobs today.
So do you believe in the Masonic?
I'm talking about brick masons. I'm not talking about Masonic. Masons is a person that work with concrete. Brumakewits work with stone.
Okay.
The word that you applying to that organization is something that is something that's also a borrowed word in order to describe their organization, masons. But a brick mason is a person that lays brick. A stone mason is a person that works with stone, set stone, so on. So when you go downtown, even your house got brick on it. It was laid by a bricklayer whose name really wasn't bricklayer. It was brick masons. You go to some downtown office building, like an old courthouse, for instance, you see those white big stones that's laid. Well, that's a stonemason that cut those stones out of rock. And when they cut them, they got to be true. They have to be, what we mean by true, that the sides have to be a true 90 degrees to one another. If not, it's very difficult to lay them, what we call plumb, one right over the other, where they don't fall over once they get to a certain height. And see, in the pyramids, the ones at your house, they got mortar joints in between them. Each brick has a mortar joint, which makes up an allowance for the imperfections of the brick. You couldn't set a wall if you don't have mortar, because there's no way that you can have the bricks level, one on top of the other, and also perpendicular with the center of gravity of the earth. But the pyramids, the stones that they built these dudes with, they didn't have no mortar joints. They was that perfect. They was that perfect. And also, when you're in the Great Pyramid, you are dead center in the mass of the earth. You can't get no closer. When you stand in one spot, you got half the earth in front of you and behind you, the other half of the earth on the left side of you and the right side of you.
Okay, can I ask a question now?
Sure.
My question is that in the course of this book, which we call the Bible, the Quran.
I don't know about no Quran. I can't tell you nothing about that. I ain't going to lie to you. I don't know nothing about
the Quran. Rob can tell us everything. Well, he says it's all fiction anyway. But my question is that in the course, we know the pyramids were here. We know the earth was here. What was actually going on that this story that was created let me finish. You say it's only 2% true, so the rest of it was.
Now that's me saying that.
Well, you're the one I'm talking to. So what I'm saying is that within that 2% that is true, the rest, what was going on with the rest of the world while this story was being created? In other words,
the rest of the world was going on by its business.
So what was going on?
Nations,
we know that the pyramids were made, right? So that's part of what's going on.
You had other nations.
Other things
that was
going on, we had
schools,
no idea to what they were.
You had schools
we
going on.
We know everything about the pyramids.
Well, in those
way
depictions
back,
also.
Hold on.
No, how did we get the information of what happened with the pyramids when they were made, how many years ago?
Thousands of years ago.
So how did we get that information? And yet we have no other information but this book, which is only 2% true. That means from your expectation, the other, I'll say 90%.
Oh, that's simple. I know where you're coming from. They copied from it. That's why.
But what was going on? Tell us what was actually
going on. Life was going on. Wars was going on. People were being born. People were dying. Agriculture was going on. Medicine was being practiced. Poetry was going on. Education was going on.
But there's no record of it.
Oh, sure, there's a record. That's what I'm telling you.
There's records of all that stuff. You can go into the tombs
record.
And temples and everything. It's carved in stone.
Listen, at the time that supposedly.
Hold on. Wait. There's plenty of records.
Let me talk. The only one
that you accepting as fact is that Bible. You have nothing else to put it up against. But then I've been quiet. Listen.
No, but I've been quiet too.
Wait, hold on, Gerard, because you're still doing the Jedi Mind stuff. No matter each one of your questions with all your Bible banging buddies, all you're trying to go ahead and make it legit.
Let me
help you out a little bit.
Me to put my buddies on.
Hey, let me finish, and I'll keep quiet. Now, here's the thing, Jerome. What it was there's a lot of things going on at that time. There was a lot of stuff going on. But the reason that this book is so prevalent and out there so strong is because the group that was going ahead taking this story and putting it together, you know, because you never can show me where the first Bible is, they were going ahead and building on that and getting stronger with their councils and everything. And then they came out one day and said, boom, this is what happened. And they used the book to go ahead and control and manipulate people.
You believe was there a Solomon?
Stop telling me I believe.
Solomon.
Solomon never existed.
No, hold on. Don't tell me what I believe. I'm telling you how I feel, and I'm giving you what's out there. You can look up what I'm saying. Now, don't tell me what I believe. I don't have no beliefs in shit. I try to go in and deal with facts and science. I don't have too much beliefs in shit. I don't believe if I walk outside that some shit going to fall on me.
No,
I feel I walk outside, I'm going to go in and go where I got to go unimpeded. I don't believe a whole lot of shit's going to go ahead and go. I don't believe.
My point and my question is that although you're telling me that everything that revolves, not everything, but you're saying the majority that revolves around the Bible that you so faithfully say that is an untrue book, but you can't tell us what's actually
well,
going
how much of it, you know, what I ask you the question is, how much do you have to prove that's untrue before you say, I mean, it's not a history book. The professors at Yale tell you that. I mean, there's an Old Testament professor, and she writes on the board and says, it's not a history book.
Well, what is it if it's not a history book?
It's a book of manipulation and control.
Well,
and get you scared of
really,
this shit,
not,
so you do what you're doing. Look, what you're doing is going in. What you've been doing, what you did, what you said about the pyramids is saying, hey, look, turn my back on my history and take what's been taught to me, take this fake history that they're teaching me every damn day, and go ahead and take it as fact. And this is what has happened. This thing is going ahead and squirreling
well, really,
a lot of young kids' minds.
That's not true neither, Rob. It's not a book for control. It was a book that was written for a certain people.
For control. That's why they stole the other stories.
The stories wasn't written for control. The story was written because people wanted to associate themselves with a history that they couldn't have. The first five books of the Old Testament was written by a certain group of people, and others would come along and add on to it and adopt it for themselves. Just like many
first,
other stories.
I want to see the first Bible.
Huh?
Where's the first Bible?
Well, I mean, a Bible compared to stories. Stories was written on scrolls. Then somebody took a bunch of scrolls and put them together, a copy of what was on scrolls, and added to it and took from, depending on what suited them, until they finally created a book. You know, they didn't have a printing press until the 15th century to make books. So you can say people wasn't buying. There was no binding going on the way we have where we recognize it today. So people took this. The first five books was a bunch of radicals that pulled away from everything else that was going on. They wanted to create their own God. Everybody else had their own God. You can't say that they didn't because they did. I mean, it's history. Man created gods for themselves. And these groups that broke away the first five, they didn't have no school. How did they learn to write? And then when they do come up with an alphabet, because you got to have alphabets in order to write words, the characters in their alphabets is exactly the same as those of the ancient Kemetic people. The Greek alphabet. The Hebrew alphabet, the Semitic alphabet is what they want to call it. The same characters. And it would stand for reason. If you want to go get a PhD, Jerome, or a master's, you're going to go to a college that already exists. You don't have your own. Black folks don't have no universities. They got to go to somebody else's university, and that's where they learn. The stuff that they learn there will permit them to advance into whatever endeavor that they're trying to get to. And they build off a story. If you was to go out and build a car tomorrow, an automobile, you wanted to have your own Jerome Roadster. Well, you wouldn't go back and build a Model T Ford, would you? You would start off what's already here. You got disc brakes. You got anti-braking systems. You got power steering. You got, now they got these where you just put the key in your pocket and you get in the car and push a button. You don't have to go out and crank it with a crank like they did with a Model T Ford. You would build off of what you have. So when these other groups say, well, we're going to write a story for ourselves, well, hell, we don't know where we come from. One thing that man has always questioned, who am I, where am I, and where did I come from? And these radicals didn't have no way to answer those questions, so it's the easiest and the most logical thing that they done was borrow from somebody else's stuff. And it just so happened, when you look at the beginning of first any ethnic group, they always sound the same. And the oldest story of where people come from was that of African people, the Kemetic people.
Jerome don't believe that. Jerome believed them Jews who look white was in trouble, them Hebrews, or what would you call them?
Who, what did who call them?
What was that, what, the people that in the Bible that built the pyramids?
What do I call them?
Yeah. Yeah.
Call them nothing.
Oh, come on.
How'd I get in that? Now, here's the question then.
You can't answer none, but you got plenty of offbeat ones. Wow.
Well, you said I called them something. I didn't call them anything but the Aztecs, the Masons. Who?
Well,
I don't know what they were called back then.
Like, you know what?
There wasn't no Aztecs in that part of the world.
That's why I told you I don't know what they were called back then.
Oh, you're right.
You know, Jerome, to be
truthful. See, now you tell me you don't read the Bible. Is that what you're telling me? You defend it, but you don't read it.
But here's the point. You had a tremendous disadvantage trying to. I mean, you can't argue. What you can do is learn.
I don't know.
Isaac, when I ask my questions, they're not really being answered.
Because you don't answer the question that was put in front of you for you to answer your question. That's the problem. It's usually you got a question that's thrown at you, then you come up with a question.
That's okay.
That's why your questions aren't being answered.
Well, can you answer my question now?
Is that simple enough
for
you?
What's your question? What's your question now?
My question is, seeing how we understand all of this history and all of this knowledge, what was actually, you told me that there were horses and stuff being, you know, life was just going on and all this here. I mean, does that make sense?
What do you mean, does it make sense? Civilizations was going on.
No. So where did we start from?
Where did who start from?
The whole shebang.
The oldest remains of human life have been found in the Great Lake regions of Central Africa.
Okay. So we got a location.
Yes.
So who was the originator?
What do you mean, who was the originator?
Was it the caveman?
You mean who built the universe?
No. Who was there first?
What do you mean, people-wise, human beings-wise?
Oh.
It was black African people who was there first.
Okay, so there was, but we have no idea who they were. We don't have a name. We don't have.
As far as their name and everything, no, nobody know their name. I mean, they didn't have no mailbox or post office box number.
Well, how is it that we can know? So when do we
start their bones? You find their bones. You find the remnants of their life. Just like if people want to know on the outskirts of your cities, where your cemeteries, right? If you want to know what today, if you want to find out about what people had in their culinary life, you go to the dump. You put your trash out. The dump truck, the trash trucks come and takes that stuff and put it into the container on the back of the truck. Then they go to a landfill, and that's where they dump it. So 10,000 years from now, people will go to that landfill and start digging up stuff and putting two and two together.
So within the bones that they have found over all of these years, they have not been able to trace back. What do you say? How far back have we traced?
Well, they found the latest remains that they call Deknesh. That goes back, 1.2 million years? I've been on excavation sites that go back 65,000
years. Can I look at it on the internet?
Deknesh?
No, I mean, whoever these, you said they found.
Absolutely. You can.
Million?
Let's go on the internet and type in Lucy. Yeah, Johannes, one of the paleontologists, one of the guy's name was Johannes. And when they found this remains, and after a day's work, they was around the campfire, and they started playing the Beatles song, Lucy in the Sky, however that goes. And they used that to name the finding. But that's not what the African people, because one of the archaeologists and paleontologists was a Kenyan by the name of Kamu. And he named it Deknesh, based on his thumb. He worked with the Ethiopians named it Deknesh, but there was a black man that worked with Leakey. And he said he could find them all the time, because they asked him, how is it you can find these remains, these bones? They said, well, they're my people. And really, in essence, you can just about say, well, if this here is this part of this community, you know, here's the well, and people would gather the water and they would take it over to here, and then they would have a fire here, and if they got a fire here, then we know how they would arrange their living spaces. They would be on the outskirts. They would circle. And in some villages today, just the way that the structures are arranged tells a story. You can go into a village today, and the way they have the structures arranged, if this structure is this way and this is there and that's there, it tells a story. They just don't flip a coin, take a shovel and start digging wherever. They put them in certain spots.
Jerome?
Yes?
Okay, I'm still here. Gave you a little bit of
history. Yeah, you can look up Lucy. You found out a whole lot about that particular Australopithecus.
You find it yet, Jerome?
Say what? You said my
shoe. You find it yet?
No, not yet.
What, Lucy?
Everybody's listening, but nobody got no questions over there.
They're listening, but they're digesting.
They digesting.
Yeah,
well, let me take a break real fast. I ain't took no break. You know, I usually go ahead and do that.
Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. That was the song that he was singing.
Yeah, while you look that up, listen to this.
I come to you this morning to talk to you about something very close to my heart. And I'm not here to be divisive. I'm not here to offend anyone. I'm here to speak to you as Geronimo talked to a general in the 1880s in the mountains, not too far from here, when he met with him at a peace conference, a powwow, and said to him, he said, this morning, I want to speak to you the truth. And I want the truth to be like arrows that go out from my heart and my soul to your mind and your body. And I want each and every one of you to understand what I'm talking about this morning. You see, I'm very profoundly disturbed. I just left Tuskegee, where black folk are suffering. And I'm very disturbed when I go across this country and I cannot find the sensitivities and the concerns about black folk in America that I want to see. And the only minister that I have seen and heard from any place in this nation has been Dr. Price, that is telling you what you should be listening to. And I've spoken all over this country and all over the world representing presidents and governors. And he is the only minister I've run into so far that violates all the social norms that were exacted on black folk back in the 1790s as this country began to move into an evangelical movement. And they decided in the 1790s that it's now permissible to have a black preacher or to have black folk invest themselves into a religious experience. And the establishment in this country said, yes, we will let blacks have their own separate services, but we must pick the minister. We must pick a minister that is controllable. And we must tell him exactly what he's supposed to do. We will license the ministers. So by the 1720s, the entire establishment in this country has set up a system saying that any black minister in this country, he has an admonishment. He must teach black folk three things so that religion will become a control device to help us maintain the status quo on black folk in this country. He says every black minister who we select or we license, they must teach black folk. First of all, when you talk about the Bible, you talk about the master and the slave, you are talking about the white master on earth and the black slave. You must secondly teach black folk to be humble and obedient and accept their life lot and to be respectful and loyal to the white servant, to the white master. And lastly, you must teach black folk. You must teach black folk that they will get theirs in the hereafter and pie in the sky. And that went into effect in the 1820s, and every black minister fell in the line and did it. And it stayed like that until after the Civil War, when 119 blacks on October the 19th walked into St. Paul's Church, Baptist Church, in Raleigh, North Carolina, and said, we can't take it anymore. As black folk, the suffering is too acute. And said, we must at least have 40 acres and a mule or something. You cannot just turn us loose, free, and say we're free, and give us non-economic emancipation, where we are penniless, poor, impoverished, sick, broken, busted, uneducated, ignorant, homeless, nothing, and say we are now free. And that is the only minister, Dr. Price, that I've heard that understands that. That you got an obligation in the ministry to go above and beyond that punishment put on black folk over 150 years ago. Now, in this area, maybe some of them don't like it. I don't care. I'd learned to respect the man at a distance, and I fell in love with him last night at dinner. And if I can ever be of any help to him in what he's trying to do, he's got my help and my institute's help. And so this morning, in the time that's been allotted to me, I want to talk to you, as I said, like Geronimo, but I want to be like the great European philosopher Diogenes, who walked through life with a lantern in his hand, saying, I want to lighten the darkness because I'm in search of an honest man. But like Diogenes, I want to walk through this temple and through black America with a new movement I'm trying to create. I want to find not necessarily an honest man. I want to find some black people and some white people that understand the problems in America. I want to find somebody that understands in America that contrary to popular myths, black folk are not progressing in America. Black people are going backwards. In comparative proportional terms, black people in America, where you were in 1850 in this country, you have not progressed. You're still in your same dilemma, contrary to anybody tells you. And you see, if I cannot, I want to find like the Diogenes, I want to find a black person that understands that black folk are not progressing. But more importantly, I want to find somebody, black or white, that don't mind being black and want to talk about the racial problem in this society. I can't even find that with my lantern in life. We got three or four major black organizations in America. Three. The Urban League, the NAACP, the Rainbow Coalition, and one other one. I can't even get them to focus on the issue of black folk. One wants to take care of cultural diversity. One wants to be talking about multiculturalism. One wants to talk about minority issues. The other wants to talk about oppressed people. And I asked them across the country, why don't somebody talk about black folk and the problems of black people? And so I'm looking like the Diogenes for a person that understands the history of this country, because I want to understand the problem in America. And the problem is not what you all have been taught. The problem is not poverty. It is not unemployment. It is not unwed teenage parents. It is not food stamps. It is not public housing. It is not drug abuse. Black people only got two problems in America. The first problem is that you've been systematically locked into the lowest level of a real-life monopoly game. That's your major problem. And that's what Dr. Price directly and indirectly is telling you about every Sunday morning. You have been locked into a no-win situation. That means that all the wealth and power in this country has been skewed over 400 years systematically into the hands of the majority white society. Black people don't own a significant amount of anything to be able to control their lives. Whites in America right now control almost 100% of all the income, the wealth, the power, the resources, the businesses, the privileges, and all levels of government. You cannot compete. And I'm tired of hearing people telling black folk, why don't you compete? Compete with what? What are you going to compete with? They keep saying, well, black folk can run fast and jump higher. That won't make it. It won't make it. And let me tell you what monopoly is. Monopoly means that all the wealth and power has been skewed based on skin color, going white, yellow, brown, black. And if you've never played the game of Monopoly, let me show you how it's played. I play it every year at my family. It means that everybody, when you sit down, you're given a certain amount of money and wealth. Black people never got their 40 acres and a mule. Now we're playing this game of Monopoly. And let's pretend for a second in this auditorium that whites got $1,000 to play the game of Monopoly. Asians got $500. Hispanics got $300. Indian got $100. And blacks got $50 to play the game of Monopoly. Now, never having gotten your 40 acres of mule, you don't own any land. You don't own any land. And if you don't have the money, you can't put any houses and hotels on the land if you got lucky and had some. Now, when you roll the dice in our hypothetical game of Monopoly, and you roll the dice and your number comes up on the wrong piece of property, what happens to you? You must either go bankrupt or go to jail. And that's the Monopoly game that black folk are locked into. And when that happens to you in life, when you only got two alternatives in life to either go bankrupt or go to jail, that is called an underclass. And black people in America are systematically being forced into a permanent underclass. We will be a permanent underclass by the year 2013. And you got about a 2.5-year window left. If we don't do some very specific things and start to come up with some very cogent strategies, comprehensive strategies of doing some things to focus on that number one problem of redistributing the wealth and power back into the hands of black folk, you can hang it up. Don't worry anymore about retiring after the next 2 or 3 years. Don't worry anymore about going to college. It ain't going to work. The doors are going to slam shut on black folk. And what I'm telling you right now is we're going to have to get it together fast. And to do it, you must first understand what I'm going to be telling you this morning. And my speech is going to be divided into three parts. I'm first going to tell you about the problems of black America realistically. As Cochise and Geronimo said, I'm going to give you the truth about the current state of black America, point one. Two, I'm going to analyze it for you. And three, I'm going to give you the solutions that we can do together to come out of it. Okay? Now, we got a very serious problem in that monopoly game. We're going to have a converging forces, social forces coming across this country, about 8 major forces that are push us into that understructure and that underclass position. And let me talk about 3 or 4 of them right quick. First thing, across this country, you're going to have an increasing amount of conservatism. Now, I want you all to understand up front what conservatism means. So I don't care whoever uses that word, you know what it means. Conservatism is a new code word for anti-blackism. Okay? Except now, a conservative can stand right in your face and call you, tell you, and confess that he's a conservative, which means he is a racist and not tell you he's a racist. Racism right now, we got racism all over America, and I can't find one racist. And what I'm telling you right now, before my book even hit the market, I'd already predicted in my book that you're going to have a cutback in welfare. I predicted in my book they're going to catch people like in Texaco. And they just caught Avis discriminating against blacks in North Carolina, South Carolina. And they just caught Circuit City, Sam's, Walmart's. I knew they were going to try to cut out the single-member districts. I knew they were going to go after affirmative action. I knew there were going to be riots all over this country that are coming. I talked about this a long time ago in the book, because that's what conservatism means. Conservatism comes from the root word to conserve. To conserve means to hold on to what you've got, or those who ain't got, as my mother said, a third grade deaf education, you ain't going to get. That's what conservatism means. And it means nothing else. It means maintain the status quo. It means use every device that you have to give the pretense that what you see is normal. And right now, there's a conservative move in this country going from the White House across this land to the Congress that says whatever exists all over this nation and in Los Angeles is normal. They want you to believe that it's normal to go out in Los Angeles and see all the drug abuse and all the crime, all the poverty, and all the suffering of black folks lying and sleeping on the streets, drugged out, doped out. They want you to believe that's normal. That's what conservatism means, maintain the status quo. It also means to reinstitute white authority, white values, so you hear them talk about family values and all those other kind of things, and also white superiority. So when people start talking about they want to go back and be a conservative, you ask them, what are you trying to conserve? When my people don't own anything and you own 100%, what have I got to conserve? When you hear blacks going around screaming about they're a black conservative, you ask them, what are you conserving? Tell me one point in history that you found something that you want to conserve. Don't let people run that game on you about being a conservative. You tell them, fine, you want to tell me what are you conserving? And when my people never had anything, why would they want to be a conservative? So the biggest problem we're going to have is conservatism when it goes across this nation. And we as black folk got to understand. Now, it's not all whites that are conservatives. There is an element that's got everything that want to make there. It's the greed over need. They want to hold on to everything. And we're going to have a massive flow. Everybody's going to be talking about conservatism. You're going to see people politically switching, talking about they're moving to the far right. And what we have to do is understand that. And that's going to create major problems in this country. One, you're going to, not only will you see an increasing amount of negative hostility towards black folk, every piece of research in the country tells us that, even from the Jewish organizations, that you're going to see more anti-blackness now and in the future than you've ever seen in the last 60 years since you left the civil rights movement. Two, you're going to see, we see organizations all over the country now, paramilitary groups, Aryan groups, Vipers, Freeman, Skinhead, Baldhead, all kind of groups that are organizing and optimistically expecting and anticipating a major clash in this country between blacks and whites.
Hello, welcome back. Jerome, let me ask you a question, man.
Yes, sir.
Was that guy racist?
No, I wouldn't say that.
You sure?
I said I wouldn't say it.
You wouldn't say that. What about anybody out there sitting in that group?
Ed, did you think he's a racist?
Yeah.
Yeah, someone does say they feel that he might have been.
Okay, can they go ahead and tell me why they think he's a racist?
Well, you shouldn't have to speak so much on race. It should be all equality.
On equality. So how is that helping black folks? Are we black people equal?
Well, I'm Hispanic, and I don't separate or try to help everybody,
but black people seem to be taking the brunt of everything. You deny that?
I didn't hear that part. I'm kind of far away.
But come on close.
Go ahead. What did you say?
So black people seem to take the brunt of all the negative woes of America. Okay? You can't deny that.
Oh, well, I do notice, if you want to speak, like, you know, inside with segregation, then I do notice, like, not only black people, but just all the minorities in general, they tend to be put in a category, and yeah, it just basically gets the short end of the stick.
Asians don't. Asians have the highest household income, 25% more than white.
But Asians have their own... I guess you're right. You do have to kind of, like, group yourself and empower, like, your own community. But then when you're noticed doing that, you tend to get hit in the knees, you know. So you got to do it, but do it discreetly.
Who they get hit on the knees by?
By other people, other, you know, other elites that are seeing you empower and with organizational, like, events and stuff like that, and they happen to be from a different race, and they...
So the other elites, they in their own little group too, huh?
Like professors, I had a professor that didn't even grade an HP book comparable for the same reason, because he was an Irish group, and I was a member of a Latin organization, and when I introduced myself in class, he just, in the middle of the semester, everything started going downhill from there. Started noticing micromanaging my every move, and just it wasn't right. So
what organization championed for the Latinos?
It's LULAC. I'm a member of LULAC.
And La Raza too, right?
No, that's the newspaper.
Isn't there a group called La Raza?
No, that's the newspaper. They just support a lot of issues.
No, they support a lot of, yeah, that's a newspaper.
What is Latinos and blacks fighting about out in Los Angeles?
Oh,
they don't get
know.
Along, do they?
Oh, I have no idea what's going on in Los Angeles.
In South Central Los Angeles, it used to be all black. Now it's Latino.
Oh, okay.
And they have the stores, and the blacks and Latinos don't get along.
Oh, well, that's always been happening. Don't you remember the movie Colors?
Yeah. So people of like kinds, just like you never see Mother Duck take her baby duckling to alligator school because she knows it's dangerous for her baby.
Yeah.
All right, brother Kometu, your line is open. How you doing?
Oh, Tip, I apologize, I'm late. I was actually co-hosting a show on War on the Horizon called The Cipher. So I'm here, and I've been listening. And I've been listening, and it's a wonderful show you got going on. I don't usually like to do shows with people who aren't one of us because they tend to be condescending like this lady has been. But from what I've heard so far, there's no real honesty coming from any other community when you put them on the hot seat. Mm-hmm. And Hotep Bianchi and the other brother, I forgot his name.
Jerome. Everybody's line is open. Anybody, somebody want to go ahead and add to it? Brother Kometu, you finished?
I'll just listen in. If you keep my line open, I'll comment if there's something to say.
Yeah. Anybody want to chime in on what they heard? Was that brother a racist? Anybody want to say something? Anybody else?
Oh, greetings. This is Sis Abena. I heard you from my mic. I would just answer the question and say, absolutely not. Was he not a racist, quote unquote? And in fact, what I heard him do is really just define and describe the current situation that folks of African descent is in. And I don't know how that No, so no, that does not make him a racist, and I agree with everything that he was saying, and I have come to the same conclusions, you know, based on years of watching, looking, listening, and talking to people of African descent.
Thanks a lot, sister. Because I was going to add to that. It just how can blacks go ahead and be racist? You're not the, you know, they're not putting any systems in place. They're not going ahead and putting laws up. You know, you don't control nothing. You know, you got to be in control.
Right.
You got to be the majority, and you're in control. So that guy wasn't no racist at all. That guy was going ahead just merely speaking the truth. And this, and just like the man who said, other people don't want to go ahead and deny that, want to put them blinders on. Black people put blinders on too, like Brother Jerome.
No, wait. What do you mean Jerome, Brother Jerome put blinders on? Come on now. Where'd that come from?
Right.
And I would add to, go ahead.
Yeah, Brother Jerome got blinders on, man. You got blinders on, man. I know you do.
You know, here's another thing, too. Y'all got to get away from this stuff talking about racism has to do with liking, getting along, united. That has nothing to do with racism. Racism was when we were prevented from having access with that which we could better ourselves, jobs, and the ability to extract wealth from this country. Like a friend of mine was talking the other day, he ended up going into the FBI when he went to the University of Missouri to take up some courses. He was at the admissions office. The white woman that had to sign his paper so that he could go on to the next room to be admitted, she said that the school that you come from, you didn't learn the things necessary where you would succeed at this institution. Mm-hmm. And disappointed, he walked out of her room and went outside in the hall and sat on the bench and said to himself, what am I going to do now? So he took the letter that she had sent him to bring him to the admissions office at UMSL, and he looked at her signature. So he took his pen, and he kept practicing and practicing and practicing until he thought he had it right. Then the paper that she was supposed to sign, he signed her name.
Not
got up, went to the next room, and showed it to the man that was sitting in the office. He looked at it and said, well, here's your transcript. You got that, and you got this, and you got this, and she signed it. Okay, that's it. You in. So what she done was racism. Because when we grew up in our community, there was no white women, so we didn't want to date them. We had our own music. We had our own soul food. We had our own dance. We had our own particular style of clothing. So it had nothing to do about getting along, singing, holding hands, and all that stuff. Now today, it has evolved into this whole thing about, well, if he's saying something that I don't like you, that's racism. That ain't got shit to do with racism. It's prejudice and discrimination, and some prejudice and discrimination is actually good.
Mm-hmm.
Power. Is that Pianki speaking? Can I ask?
Yes, it is.
Great, great. Greetings, Pianki. This is me, Sis Abena, from Racism Not Anonymous.
Hey!
Now, me and you ain't supposed to be getting along, but we make
exceptions.
I sound
like Pianki's been doing a lot of growing over the years. You sound great, Pianki. Go ahead.
No, Pianki know better. Sometimes I like to play possum, but...
Is that what it is? It's like, whoa,
yeah.
That's the same Pianki that I've known over time here. Great. Yeah, power plus prejudice. That makes a racist. That is power, and that is power to do. It's systematic. It's intentional harm, you know. It's acts of intentional harm. It's using folks of African descent for other people's benefit and gain. It's withholding knowledge and information. I like the way the speaker on the tape described it in terms of a monopoly game and how the system is set. It's set up, it's intentional, it's purposeful. And so when the girl was talking about, why can't it be about equality, it's like, well, excuse you, did you hear the analogy? The system is currently rigged. Until there is some corrections in that, there is no equality if this group gets $1 and the other groups get $100 to play. Where's the equality in that? And this whole,
that's Dr.
Like,
Claude Anderson, ma'am.
That was Claude Anderson, okay.
Yes, sister. Dr. Claude Anderson.
Yes.
I tell you never. I
want to ask a question and see how we get done. Go ahead, John.
Well, I'm going to tell you another thing, too. See, she's talking about equality. See, black, and I'm not, and see, I'm not downing because some of our people receive food stamps, because I don't believe anybody should be hungry. And whatever they can get, and I call it subsidy, as a subsidy. Hell, white farmers get subsidies. Those vacant lots in your city, if you would do the research, somebody owned them, they're receiving subsidies from FDA. So here's the point. Blacks get subsidies in the form of food stamps and other federal programs, but who do they spend those subsidies with? The fact that we have been systematically denied the opportunity, the knowledge, whereas we can compete with their children. They will never provide all black school districts with the necessary things where those black children can compete against their children. And quite frankly, I don't blame them, because if I had the tide turn, I would do the damn same thing too. So when we cannot spend with our own folks for a whole host of reasons, that in itself is also racism. And it's set up right now.
I would ask the question to the Hispanic person who's on the line. And, you know, like I said, I usually don't even entertain other races when I talk. So it's a privilege for her to even hear what we're saying. But I wanted to ask her, what role do the Latino or the Hispanic community have in the oppression of black people in North America? Are you there?
Yeah, the line's open. Wait a minute. Yeah, the line's still open. Jerome, you there?
Okay, hi. I heard at the end about, you said something about the African-American oppression in North America.
Yeah, I wanted to know, what role did the Latino and or Spanish and or Hispanic community, what role did they play in the oppression of black people in America, in North America?
Oh, what role do they play? What role do we play in the oppression? If anything, I think that we're part of the minority group as well. And I mean, depending on which group you're talking about, there's segregation in every, like, area. So, I mean, if you're involved and you're active and you're a minority, then I think that you're bringing along, like, the African American community. And you're trying to...
Because I'm speaking of North America, including Mexico and Central America. But not just the United States.
Well, if the area is predominantly Hispanic or you know, of... well, not Hispanic, but basically of... If the Spanish is like the native language or whatever the case is, then of course it's going to be more upliftment for that race. So, I mean, I'm not really involved in like world politics, so I really can't tell you. But if that's going to be like the majority of the people and the population, then I'm under the impression that there is oppression. Everybody preys on weakness. And if they're the minorities, then they're going to be oppressed, unfortunately.
And I disagree with the last point. People prey on strength, not weakness.
No, people prey. People want to keep the weaker and suppressed. And if vice versa, and if you do tend to be a little bit knowledgeable, then they do tend to bring you down as well. So,
but you only oppress and steal from people that have something.
No. Keep you weaker and keep you attained at a certain level, whether it's through aspects of you know, public aid, of, you know, like Social Security, whatever the case is. They just want to keep it at a certain level and gap your income.
And I understand where you're coming from, but you kind of missed the question because I was asking historically, what role do the Spanish-speaking people play in the oppression of black people in North America, including the United States, Mexico, and Central America?
I have no idea. I haven't really took too many courses, so I have no idea. I'm not really involved. I can tell you some information on Europe and the difference in that. That's what I've taken Eastern politics. So, I mean, I don't know. I have no idea what's going on there, how that happened.
And one more question for her, since you couldn't answer that one at all. What does the original term Ladino or Latino actually mean?
What does the original term Latino mean?
Yes, either in its spelling of Ladino with a D or Latino with a T, because they're the same letter.
It's just a Latin word. It's just like everything has Latin origin. I don't know. I have no idea what it means. Can you elaborate?
I was just trying to see what level of authority you were bringing to your argument of stuff being prejudiced or non-prejudiced and people being lumped together and the oppressed always being exploited by people of more power. Because from my studies of Mexican history and Latino countries or Latin-speaking countries, is that Latino originally meant Africans who spoke Spanish. And now all of a sudden it means all these French people.
No, well, I mean, that happened because of the European and Mexican Revolution. That's why my last name is French. I mean, I didn't know, like, how far. I mean, there's been a lot of suppression throughout the world. I mean, just like with the Indian deployments and, you know, and the British wars. I mean, just through all, like, America. So when people are colonizing and moving from one region or section or whatever the case is to another, I mean, everybody, you know, tends to pray and, you know, fight. There's wars that get generated and get created for many reasons. And some of them it's because of the area and your race. So I don't know.
Okay, thank you. And Chef Rob, this is why I don't talk with other communities, because they lie and they act like they don't know.
No, maybe because everything shouldn't just be a debate on race, and that's not really what I categorize it as. Because if you really did know the history, you'd know that not every Hispanic is actually Hispanic. We come from European descendants and Spanish descendants, and we do have African blood running through our veins as well.
Oh, that's a first. I've never heard a Hispanic say that. That's interesting.
Can I ask you, you say everything shouldn't, quote unquote, shouldn't be based on race. And I'm saying as a woman of African descent, in the position that people of African descent are in the world, and you see us as being, quote unquote, weak. And so, of course, if the people are weaker, then other people are going to prey on them. If a weak person has been preyed on, why would not they have a, quote-unquote, debate on the issue of race, especially when one race keeps preying on them?
I know, but nobody's really from one race.
Excuse me. Did you hear the question?
No.
I didn't ask you whether you think we're. Why would
she can't hear you?
Oh, it shouldn't be. She can't. No, she's not listening. You can't. Shouldn't be. Shouldn't. Number one, if people say should and shouldn't, that is your shit. You don't want it to be about race. However, for me, it is very clearly about race when I see what is happening to people of African descent all over this globe, all over this planet for the last thousands of years. Then it is most definitely about race. Now, maybe it's not for you. That's your shit.
That's what society wants. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm saying nobody should be categorizing anybody as a specific gender, because not everybody. I'm categorized as a Hispanic, but I'm really not.
Who are you to tell people what they should or shouldn't be? Who are you to tell people what they should or shouldn't do?
We all came from the same God, and we all migrated through colonization from colonization and from our ancestors, people from different races.
You got a tutor. You got a tutor in the background. You got to go back to school before you come and speak. And get your tutor to come get on the phone.
She's asking if you're racist.
Anybody can anybody give me that clear cut definition of a racist?
I'm asking her, not you. This is not to you. It's to her.
Nobody's
okay.
Okay.
A woman.
Okay.
Right.
You're asking who what?
I want to go. So I know you can do it. What is a racist?
What is a racist person who practices racism?
I'm going to respond as a man.
Go ahead, sister.
What is she? You ask me what do I classify as a quote unquote racist?
Yes.
I would say a racist is somebody who practices the system of racism.
Okay. Anyone else?
I'm curious to see what the Hispanic says racist or racist.
Let me bring it back open because they had a lot of echoing back there, so I opened their line back up. Brother Jerome?
Yeah, I mean, what kind of answer was that? She said racism is a person who practices racism?
No. He asked me what was a racist. Racist. What is a racist? A person who practices racism. That's what I said.
No, she was asking you what is. I thought you were answering her question.
She answered it. Okay, so what is racism?
Yeah, what is it?
What is racism? Racism is a system that is established where one group of people or one race benefits or capitalizes off of the resources of another race.
Okay.
They use their resources to their own benefit and gain.
All right.
So a targeted race to be exploited through racism has to possess something of value, correct?
Correct. I like your reframe of quote-unquote weak versus strength, because the people who are strong are the people who are targeted, not people who are quote-unquote weak or not preyed upon. The folks who are strong who have something are the ones who are preyed upon.
Let me give y'all another example of what's going on today with the Gullah Geechee.
Ooh, man, please, oof.
The Gullah Geechee.
That's her.
Gullah Geechee. Geechee is those blacks that came from Sierra Leone. Somebody have to help me. It skips me on the Gullah. But where they are there in the Carolina, South Carolina, North Carolina, you have Gullah Geechee, black people who have owned literally millions of acres of land. But now they're down to hundreds of acres of land. And the white county wants their land. Well, they're not going to just go in there and just take a gun and take it. They use other methods. Oof. And what they do, the white board will permit a white developer to come in and build not on the Gullah Geechee's land, but next to the Gullah Geechee's land. And you have one black woman who has land where she was paying $300 a year in taxes. But when the white developer come in and develop right next to her, all of a sudden the county commissioners raised the taxes, and now she owes $16,000 a year in taxes. Well, she can't pay it. So what happens? She loses her land in back taxes. And then they will sell the land to the developer, and now he's got the black people's land.
The pennies on the dollar. And the Gullah people are from the Igbo of Nigeria.
But I also know how, man, they pretty much, they destroyed them a whole, man. They getting treated so bad. They cut them off from the mainland. They were getting a lot of their supplies on barges. They go ahead and they do everything they can to lay the barges. They get their mail late. They get their electricity. Everything about what they cut, they literally killing them people, strangling them people down there.
Blacks down in another area in South Carolina called Hilton Head, South Carolina.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
and during World War II, the Air Force wanted to strip as a landing, wanted to land to make a to build a landing strip, and the black folks, you know, looking at the call, say yes, you can use our land for that. But hell, when World War II is over, they still haven't got their land back yet. Haven't got their land back to this day. Even with a black president sitting there in office. So that's racism.
Right.
They ain't asking, I want my kids to go to school with you, your children. They ain't asking, I want to marry your daughter. They ain't asking, I want to come in and sit down at your table and have a meal. I don't want to come. They ain't asking, I want to sit at your lunch counter and eat a drink of Coke and have a hamburger. They want to be left alone on their land.
And that's called escheatment of your property through government means. And the bigger issue with even what you're explaining, Pianki, is that many of the blacks you described as owning millions of acres of land, they held a loyal title to the land before the colony set up. Therefore, they're the original indigenous people of those lands.
That's just like the Seminoles. United States Army went to war against the Seminoles. Seminoles were Africans that had left the plantations, the rice plantations in the Carolinas. And the whites expelled what we call the five civilized tribes, the Cherokee, the Choctaw, and, you know, three of us I can't name for right now.
The Seminoles,
the
Creek.
Seminoles, the Creek, yeah, you're right. But the Seminoles were still, matter of fact, the Seminole County, Florida. The Seminoles never signed a treaty. The Seminoles are a sovereign people in Florida. But you got your Negro organizations that won't come to these people's behalf like they will on all these other crazy cases. I ain't going to say the cases are crazy, but they obvious crazy. They obvious are cases. But that is those people's land. Basically, the U.S. Army lost the war. No treaty was signed. They are sovereign people in Seminole County, Florida.
And I would say this, Brother Pianki, the Seminoles in Florida at the time, Florida was under the Spanish fake jurisdiction, and Florida consisted of the state of Florida, Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi, Arkansas, and Oklahoma. And so the entire Deep South was the state of Florida, and most of the black Seminoles were not runaway slaves from those plantations, and that the American country as a country didn't exist when the war with the Seminoles started. Therefore, they were always sovereign.
I'm listening.
That was it. And a good book on that, at least on the Seminole War part, would be Black Seminole Legacy in North American Politics, 1692 to 1845, and that's by Twyman. And he really explains the protracted war that they literally won. And Colonel Jessup and Andrew Jackson reported to Congress that it is clear to them that the Indians in the South were ruled by the blacks.
Well, the general that was fighting, he wrote back and said, these are not Indians we are fighting. These are black people.
Yeah, I read
that's
that.
That's my point.
Let me
also said that the Indians were ruled by black.
Hold on a minute. I need to make a... Be right back.
Oh, my God. Tell me, say you have something to tell me. Lord, you see me right now, please tell me. You can't deny my love. You can't deny my love. Sexy Italia, come sing to me.
Moment of honesty. Someone's gotta take the lead tonight. Is it gonna be?
Make sure.
I'm gonna sit right here and tell you what comes to me.
accept it, I Tanya. We are made for night of the night, everything up is sealed up. My love is like we're car, we want wheel up. Me know you feel about me, or the deal up. Me stand up on my two foot, then me no kneel up. You are talking like so you are at least. My love is pure Charlie. You tell me to your ex man, where are the box? So what the hell you want with Charlie Black? Please tell me.
Radio. Glad you guys are here. Love you guys. Thanks for showing up. One of the things that puzzles me is like with Geronimo dropped off, and I didn't really want to say too much while it's gone. But it's this. You got a whole lot of people out here like that want to deny what's going on here. And I think this is why we got. We don't have as much support in trying to go ahead and tackle this problem because they all locked up in fantasy and ridiculousness to me. So, but, you know, it's kind of hard to deal with. It's going to take a minute.
Well, you just got to leave them people alone, man.
Well, you know.
Even now, there's some Negroes I don't want living next to me.
Yeah, but.
There's a whole lot of Negroes I don't want living next to me. You just have to leave them alone. You just got to find like-minded people. That has the same.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a lot of them. There's more than you'd ever imagine.
I had to live Pianchi alone for a while.
And you know, they benefit from our ignorance, and so they've done a lot.
Yeah.
And that's right. And see, so you can't go begging for something that. See, what happens? That's just like. You know the old story. The people that got out there and burned down cities in Los Angeles, they weren't the ones that was offered the scholarships and the ones that was given the jobs. It's the Negroes that were standing on the outskirts that didn't want to have nothing to do with that and called the ones that was calling all the made the changes happen. They was being called them other ones. We ain't with them other ones. So that has always been that way, and we should have learned by now that that's what they're going to do. It's just leave them alone.
No, but the thing was is that every time I tried to go ahead and get to those who are like-minded, I got these kind of fuckers is in my way.
Well, then you need to get violent with them.
I'm trying not to, man. I can't do that to brother, man.
I just know for me it becomes a very lonely journey because I've learned that if people don't want it, then I do not give it to them. If they want, I'm here if they want it. If not, then I don't give it to them, and I do what I do with me and the creator spirit realm that I have to do it with. And it takes, it's like a delay is not a denial, so it may just be take a little longer. I'm very patient. I learned in this system to be very patient, very compassionate, and forgiving, and to keep it moving, because at some point along the line, I will come along to people who are ready, willing, and able to go in the same direction that I'm going in. And there are oftentimes that I come across people, and they say, yes, I'm ready, I'm with you, and then you take a few steps, and you find out they really on some other stuff that they really have not dealt with, and then it's like, oh, man, I have to step off by myself again. And it's like, well, okay, what did I learn from that? What was the lesson? What was the blessing? You know, I leave them in peace, give them a bottle of water and a blanket, and keep it moving. Because at this point, that's all that I found, that that's the best that I can do. That's about all I can do without leaving my, you know, in order to prevent myself from falling into a state of just total despair and desire to not move anymore. Because you do, I do, you keep coming across the people, and you do have these folks like that who are in the way of you seeing, you know, the truth. So then that's when I have to employ patience, and I have to employ compassion, and I have to forgive myself for when I link up or choose people who was really not true to what they said they were about. Now I'd be like, I gotta waste my time, and so it's like, okay, I have to forgive myself and keep it moving still. It's not easy,
Chef,
though. I can tell you that. It's not
easy. It sure ain't. And Chef Rob.
Go ahead, brother.
I would say that this is Brother Commit. My wife is quite disturbed that a Hispanic can sit on the line and join the conversation. And from my experience and our experience as a couple, we don't have no friends outside of the few of our own race that understand. And so there will never be a coalition that's going to be multiracial because they benefit too much from our ignorance. And like the lady was saying, she never studied the early history of Mexico or North America, but how do you have any sense of history of current America if you have no historical background? And if you're college educated and you don't know that background from your own studies, then what is your purpose other than to destroy, seek and destroy?
And you know something, I think she's Puerto Rican.
And that goes for them too. I'm not into beige people either. The Puerto Ricans that are dark-skinned with nappy hair, as long as they get rid of the Christian Catholic sensibility, they're workable. But I haven't met a Hispanic yet that wasn't Catholic. And when I asked her the historical role of the Hispanic, Spanish-speaking Latino, she should have went directly to the Catholic Church, but it jumped over her head, so that means dishonesty for me. That's just a liar.
Well, you know, Mexicans on a mission.
Not to mention the population of black people in Mexico before, during, and after colonialism is never mentioned by anyone who's Hispanic, even though she said she had African blood. It's only when they're scrutinized, like the questions I was nailing her with, that they even say that.
Well, you know, the thing that I observe quite a bit is when you're talking about your experiences, then you always got somebody going to come along and say, well, we wasn't the only ones.
Very true. And that's
such
a disarming mechanism.
Yeah, such and such. As if in order for you to, in other words, it's not right for you to emphasize on your suffering and emphasize on your experience. It's you can't emphasize your experience without including somebody else's experience. I mean, this thing about integration and multiculturalism and diversity and stuff not only apply on the good thing, but they also want to apply it to the bad. So you can't talk about black folks being lynched without mentioning about those few whites that was lynched too. They got to throw that in.
Right.
Control.
Right.
And that's
control,
got to be.
And that's a part of the Catholic Christian sensibility. And this is not just attacking religion. I'm talking about a mind state where everything you do, think, feel, and act on is filtered through a slave master's mind and eyesight. You know, Brother DJ on the show, I hope, co-host, said a beautiful thing one time. He said, that sight does not take place in the eyes. That sight takes place in the mind. And when you control a person's mind, you control what they see.
Control. And that's the other part, or real part of the definition for me of racism. Like any other ism, it's an illness, like alcoholism, you know, it's sexism, it's an addiction. And that addiction, with racism, the addiction is to power and control. It's like the alcoholism uses alcohol to feel good about themselves. The racists use a system of power and control to feel good and okay about themselves. It's an illness, and the illness, the addiction, is to power and control, where they want to control and contain everything, you know, all of the world resources, all of the knowledge, all of other people's thinking and behaving, just control, control, control.
And I think that the entire school system in America, in North America for that matter, is a white male self-esteem curriculum that no one talks about. I guess it's the elephant in the room.
Right.
Well, that's a whole different story there on the damn school system. But you can see it going on in geopolitics. They don't want Iran to have a nuclear weapon because there's money to be made in conventional weapons with guns, rifles, hand grenades, and missiles and rockets. But if Iran had a nuclear weapon, they say, look, we just going to set this one bomb off, and that's going to be it. No making money, that's going to be it. So that's not what they want. They want to, as you say, they want to control, and they don't want competition. And that's what we have to concentrate on. Our development has to be object-oriented. What is our situation, and what do we want to change? And whatever that is that we want to change, we have to prepare for it in the education, in the skills, in everything else that's necessary in order to make that happen. And it don't have to be one object. It can be multiple objects that multiple groups of people are working on. And those Negroes that don't want to have any – well, those Negroes who say they don't want to have anything, well, don't bother them. But when we start – you get to the point where you're providing, and when you get to the point where it's commonplace, they'll come and fall in line. Cowards always stand on the outside. We know that.
And the system requires someone to exploit. That's the other component that the people who are not in our own group, and some that are in our group, just fail to realize, is that their system doesn't work unless there's someone that has something of value to exploit.
It's nothing worse than trying to change somebody that's scared as hell. People say they don't believe in God because they're scared they're going to get struck by lightning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, people won't buck the system because they're afraid of the consequences. And I can understand them. You know, nobody should be out there risking their jobs. You know, you had a black woman here in this city that wore a badge, a button that said, I love being black, during the time of Irish Day, when everybody said, I love being Irish, and they fired her.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to use some common sense. I can understand why people are afraid. But then again, there's some things there's no reason to be afraid of at all, and they're still scared. So you always had those who going to stand on the side and let others go out there and risk their neck. Then when the ballot is over and time has came for the issuing of a reciprocity, not reciprocity, but restitution, then they show up then.
We seem to have too many of them standing on the side. Too many. It's ridiculous. But it's not so much those ones standing on the side. It's the ones that stand. It's behind the ones standing on the side. Go ahead and saying, oh, those. That's actually saying it is those Negroes, and we're not going to help at all. I think they're much worse.
Right.
Yeah, 224, your line is open. You got anything to say? Speak up, man. 224, I know who you are. Okay, Brother Kometu.
Yes, Brother Jeff Rock.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm here.
It was something else you said about her, but my thing is not so much what some of the stuff she was saying. It's like she was trying to go ahead and bring you in. What she was saying? She's trying to go ahead and bring you in and go ahead and bring that umbrella. And hey, we're all one love and one love, and coming from another's perspective. That seemed to be growing
but
a whole lot.
But we still get wet, and they all dry. So what's the point?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't waste time with the sensibilities that I sense when they make stupid statements. And for a person to say they don't know the earlier history of how they became who they are, it doesn't leave anything in my mind but a deceptive killer. You know, like the natural born killers.
See, but
like
that
the
was
movie,
that's
natural
what
born killer.
Wait, hold on. That was the whole thing I was trying to tell them. See, they their biggest thing was to go ahead and tell me that I'm wrong and that the world was with the Bible. And then when you was telling her, pretty much asking about her own history, she got stumped.
Exactly, and that means that she didn't give a damn about history. She gave a damn about continued exploitation that her ancestors laid out. So she had a sense of obligation to continue the oppression in the subtle and backhanded ways that she presented herself.
Mm. Running rampant. It was another clip I wanted to play, man. I wanted to go ahead and try to play that. I tried to play that Jesse Lee Peterson thing where Jesse Lee Peterson, he was thanking America and thanking God for slavery and stuff. Man, I wanted them to play that. Because they needed to hear that really bad. But it wouldn't play. Because them over there, they're constantly on that. I mean, we don't seem to be going nowhere with that.
What was not dealt with as well is the intrinsic caste system of interracial racism in the Hispanic community. You know, as an advocate for mental health and juvenile justice youth, I have witnessed a lot of the damage that the Hispanic community inflict on each other for their darker skin as compared to the ones with lighter skin, and especially when you have mixed race children where a Hispanic or two will sleep with a nigger, for lack of better words, and the child catches more hell than a little bit because not only do they have that Christian Catholic sensibility like most Spanish-speaking blacks, but they also have the built-in caste and racism system that the Spanish Catholics perfected.
Well, what they have, too, is for instance, if you got a dark-skinned person that marries a light-skinned person, they consider that as fixing up the race. They have
right.
sayings, don't they have sayings, don't marry down. In other words, don't marry nobody darker than you. So
right.
that is prevalent. You know, I'm going to tell you something else. I don't know how in the hell they're having the Olympics. And I forget what year in Rio de Janeiro. Blacks catch crazy hell in that country. And that should have been brought out.
Yeah.
You want to talk about, you want to talk about some assimilation methods that's going on. Study Rio de Janeiro.
Yeah, I seen something on that. And how they got those hit squads coming from the police.
Right, and that's the Portuguese, remember, who are right next to Spain. And all this has to do with the Moors. When the Moors were expelled out of Spain and Portugal, they were hell-bent on erasing from our memory any time period where we ruled them. They wanted to erase any fact or idea that we are the ones who educated them and told them to take a bath and not to screw your sister. And you know, they just are in a total denial. But being Catholic is the epitome of denial, because you can externalize everything, get away with murder, because, you know, the number one murderer is organized with the mafia, and they kiss the Pope's ring and give them money. And you need to kiss the Don's ring when you come up in the ranks. And so if you really examine them, you will see, and even in the movie The Godfather, most people missed it, maybe not the elders, maybe Pianchi caught it, but they were calling the Corleones Guinea because of their Moorish black blood from Corsica and Sardinia and Sicily. And so they couldn't get into the cartel because they had the black blood, and the Catholic Church was hell-bent on purging every essence and every trace of any Negro, not anything. And that's still a part of the catechism. It's still a part of the marrying up, not down. So, you know, the Spanish are the number one successors of and creators of white supremacy, especially during the era of slavery.
You know, I was listening to a Blog Talk Radio program the other night. You're talking about, I know how Obama always calling, making reference to the things he's done for women that he mentioned in the Lilly Ledbetter Act. But I heard 12 women, either 12 or 20, that filed suit against Obama and the United States Department of Agriculture for discrimination, abuse, and even rape on the job. And the USDA is in charge of those forests. What do they call that, Rob?
Department of Forestry. I mean, what forest? What do you mean?
Well, the agencies, those park rangers.
Park rangers.
And they got women that's working in those departments, and they are catching strict hell.
Yeah,
right.
I've seen some on that too.
Nothing being said. It's not making news or nothing.
Because they're out there,
and the majority of them are white women. I don't even think it's any black women. So you know, if they do white women like this, what they would do to black women.
Yeah, I saw that. You know, let me switch gears real quick. Hey, I want to get everybody's take on this new movie about Lincoln coming out. I was listening to somebody saying, hey, that movie's going to be good, and it's going to be telling about the him freeing the slaves and all this other stuff. And I was like, brother, I mean, there was no freedom. I mean, it was left up to the states, and we still caught hell after that. He was defending, and this was a black Republican. So I was trying to tell him that, hey, look, some of the stuff Lincoln was saying, well, one of the things he said was, hey, look, I'll go ahead and free him. I'll emancipate him, but I don't want him living next door to me. And this brother was in straight denial. So when it, those racist quotes, now those, them, that's what I call them. Them quotes come out. You know, when anybody say anything, you think is it going to change anything?
Well, they're not going to show the quotes. And the read that you would have to read Jerome Bennett's book, Forced into Glory, which is a very eloquent book that he wrote. And even the, you know, there's a, just like it is for Jefferson, there's a Lincoln contingent that's, you know, that promotes him, and they couldn't even dispute anything that he said. But it won't be in there. Just like Will Smith's portrayal of Tar Harbor. By the time you look at that movie, you'd be drunk.
Mm.
Especially if you know better.
Mm.
But I haven't heard about that. So you say they're going to do a movie on Abraham Lincoln, huh?
I've been seeing the clips. I saw the you know, the trailers. I think they showed it during the football game yesterday and last night. I'm like,
I did see trailers for that movie, and I the first thing I thought it was, it's like our children's minds are thoroughly prepped and prepared to accept what they're going to be saying, and my hunch is it's not going to tell the true story of Lincoln. Even from the trailers, I think I picked up some of that. But it was just very scary. It's like, oh, Lord, man, this is just going to be the next thing to contend with. It's like they're working to rewrite it. It's like I can't imagine what it's going to be in 20 years. The generations of our youth just hit our whole story.
Hold on, sister. Let me throw this at you. A little while ago, they've been playing in the theaters a Lincoln vampire killer. How did he come up with that?
Maybe the next president is going to be Republican.
This thing is it's dangerous because so many of our children don't know and they don't want to know, and they are accepting this one great, you know, equal family, and the whole racism is over because there's a black president kind of stuff. It's so sad. It's crazy, and it's sad, and it's scary because I just see them actively reworking history and writing out the atrocities that they have committed and all of the lies that they have told. And as parents, if there are not more parents who are being very astute and making a conscious effort to educate and document our history, it's going to be gone. It's going to be gone in another 20, 25 years. They're already taking it out of the textbooks in Texas and taking out the story of slavery out of the textbooks and things like that. And this is just more part and parcel of the whole movement to white out and cover up all of their crimes against the African folks. That's what I see happening. It's like it's just right happening right before our very eyes.
What is what they've done in Arizona? They done away with ethnic studies.
Right. And right, they did it in research
in the, public
10
university.
Years ago. Yes. They did it in research. When you do research studies in behavioral health field, you can't include race as a factor. It's like, don't make it based around race. It's like, what are they doing? They can't make comparisons based on race. When you write grants and proposals for money, it can't be based on race. It's just like, you know, they're just kind of just taking it right out, and not too many people seem to care, or, you know, they will listen to the people like that child on the phone talk about how we're all just one. We're all just one people. We all come from the same God.
You didn't hear? It was some more people in the background saying the same thing.
Hey, I heard them. That day
was. Uh-huh. I've been over there, and man, you just don't know. They always, I want to call in, and they all want to sit there and go ahead and try to tell me that I'm wrong. And we got our problems for this and this, and we just doing it to ourselves, and that's the one that really killed.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's the one that really killed. Mm-hmm. They just sit there. I've been telling them, you know, don't y'all feel like, you know, I'm just promoting a little self-hatred there? I mean,
right.
Well, I want to hear that. All our problems
kids,
because we've done it to ourselves. So we need to recognize that, hey, look, how we got into this situation, and we work on a solution. They don't want to hear that.
No.
Well, you just got to do what you got to do. You know, you got a son at home, you got to protect him. You can't be letting your son be hanging around white girls. I don't let my grandson hang around them. And I constantly tell myself, don't you bring no white girl. I said, Papa, I ain't marrying none of them. So that's what you got to do. You got to constantly keep your son in the face around black women, black girls, should I say. I mean, when my kids, you know, my grandson, I used to, he started off doing African dance and drum. He was such a small little child, and he could dance and just look like he'd just be floating along. And we go, the group would go perform at universities and so forth. You always got white folks standing on the side, some women. And when the dance is over, they want to pick him up and hug him. I say, you better put my child down. All you want to be funneling with your kids.
So when your child get
old enough to do things on their own, you find them making suggestions like putting you in an old folks home and all that old stuff. Well, that's, I mean, that's, apparently you didn't do something right at some point in time in their development. Mm.
Right.
You never let your child think, you never tell your child that he is better, he or she is better than other black children. I take my grandson down in the inner city where he played with black children that's got nappy hair, snotty nose, and all those things that they like to label our children with. And he gets along very well with them. They have good team play and everything. So that's what you have to do. I mean, if you're going to do it right.
Right. You get out what you put in. You will get out what you put in or what somebody else put in. That's the bottom line. And it's work, so, and it's okay to ask for help, but we have become, it seems like, so comfortable and complacent with not needing anything. I don't need you. I don't need anybody. And that seems a big problem. It's like, I do need help. I do need you. I don't know if you need me. However, I do need you, so can we do something together based on that? Oh, you're not supposed to need anybody. You're supposed to do it all by yourself. It's like an
independence thing.
You're absolutely right. They always talk about your responsibility. We're not talking about individual success. We're talking about group success.
That's right.
That's what's one of the things wrong with black folks today. Blacks are competing against themselves for a quota that whites are going to let them have. I mean, you never gonna have 100% employment if you dependent on them to do what we call the right thing. The right thing is for us to hire our own self. Like it is if you live in a community that's 95% black, well, that fire district, that ambulance service, the employees for those two should be reflected to the people that they're serving. You ain't supposed to have other people coming from miles around where the blacks in their own community is not even hired at no percentage at all. But they're going to hire all their people, then they're going to take those that's left and bring them 50 miles into your community and take up those jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got some Negro saying we're talking about diversity.
Right.
The most stupidest thing I ever heard in my life. Here you is in a community that's 95% black, and you talking about diversity.
Well, when they came out with all those programs and all of those code words, many of our elders unknowingly, it seems, followed along. And they're not able to say that, oh, we're sorry, we made a mistake. We were incorrect. The adults, the elder generation, they will not take responsibility and acknowledge, oh, yes, we did go along with that. However, it was based on this, this, and that, and now we see it was incorrect. And do what you need to do to begin to correct it. They won't do it.
What about it, Joel?
What about who?
Brother Kometu.
Kometu going through the...
I apologize.
Fast service line.
What
are you doing, buying hamburgers again?
No, I thought I had it on mute. I'm returning to rent a car. My fault.
Okay. Brother Justin, your line open. You got anything to say?
No, man. I've just been listening in.
Okay. All right. This is about my time. Hey, sister, I want you to go ahead and lead it off. You got something you want to go ahead and close it out with?
quote, well, no, I was stuck. The guy, I was in the midst of something with the guy was taking care of the car stuff, and then I lost my train of thought. But I just thank you all for being here. Thanks for letting me share and participate. And I want to let you know, Brother Chef Rob, Minister Dawu, you know, kind of kept your name, and I have been meaning to come and listen to you and check you out. So I appreciate that, and I really enjoyed building and interacting with you brothers tonight. I felt very respected and very welcome, and that for me has been pretty rare. And I also want to say this was nice, Pianki. We did it. So it was good to hear from you in this sort of different energy and vein. And I learned a lot from all of you, too, tonight. And I looked up Lucy. I was telling my brother, look up Lucy in terms of the bone, and I found another name that is dated back. Lucy dates back 3.2 million years, and there's another one. I closed the link, but it is dates back 4.4 million years. So apparently they have found some bones, and it's still female, and they found them in Ethiopia, and it predates even Lucy. So that was just a
new thing that another
I wanted to throw out there.
And they weren't no apes neither, because I can show you Kenyan and Ethiopian women that have those facial appearances today. You know, that's one thing that I noticed. You know, like you, sister, you have them big old cheeks like you've been kissed by angels. I mean, that's a trait. And you see that trait in African people today.
Okay.
So this stuff, when they'd be drawing these remains, and they've come up with these prototypes of what they might have looked like, what they would have looked like, and they looked like all hairy and everything. That's a bunch of crap. What in... it's just, we need to start doing those remises ourselves and stop depending on everybody else. These folks ain't going to do right, especially when they're losing. That's when they really going to lash out at you. And they are losing.
Yes,
nothing stays on top forever.
That's right. Everything must change, is that what they say? Sure. Nothing stays the same. And, so it's changing. I know it just changed for me just based on my experience with you all here tonight. So that's a good thing for me. So.
All right, Chef Rob, I'm getting ready to go. I got to get up early tomorrow and get back up to this university. I guess he passed out.
Is he gone? Is the show still on?
Yes. It's 11:48. Here, he's still around. What else you been doing, young lady?
Well, me, once at a time. The Legacy of a Nation. I do my little Friday night where I just share what's going on in with me and stuff that I'm seeing here and there for half an hour.
Now you ain't getting caught up in them storms, are you?
I'm out here in Philadelphia. Sandy came through and did her thing, and we were safe and didn't have a whole lot of damage here in Philly, and not here in the hood. You know, we kind
no
of
no power out of nothing. Huh?
Nope, no power outages or anything like that. So that was a blessing. And if we had the power out, you know, I had some provisions prepared, you know, in that event. So, but we didn't need it, and so that was a good thing. There's a lot of power outs, but not in the heart of the hood. We don't have to worry about that so much.
I used to come to Philadelphia to the Diop conferences.
Oh,
I also
okay.
see Barry Shingle when he was alive.
All right. And I never knew him, Barry Shingle, when he was alive here in Philly. I'm not working, and I'm working and still trying to find a way to generate some income for myself. But I've been growing my own food as a result of not working. And I was fired while I was in support and defense of the Constitution, and I got no help from the Department of Justice. I got no help from anywhere. And
So times is kind of difficult economically in that regard, yet spiritually and culturally, I'm where I'm at, and I can't let go. I'm not going to let that go. And if that means that I don't work for somebody in this town, that's okay. I'll continue to do what I need to do to build and generate my own. It's a slow process, yet a delay is not a denial. And that's what I hold on to, and I keep doing what I can do, keep finding folks to build with, and that's a tall task anymore, real tall task.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think we had that conversation before you came. I was telling Rob, I said, you have to protect yourself. Sometimes you just got to keep your mouth shut, especially if you got a family to feed. You know, these folks will lay you off, fire you in a minute.
Well, keep your mouth shut. But you can't keep your mouth you can keep your mouth shut. But I'm not willing to keep my mouth shut and be mistreated, and accept it and take it. And that's what was happening. I was being actively mistreated and bullied. And the saddest thing is those folks who were leading the pack were folks of African descent. and they were supported. So in this system, as long as you are working to hurt black people, then you will be fine. As long as you're willing to do active and open harm to people of African descent, that's where you would get rewarded in this system. And they understood that, and they were working it. And I was being mistreated, and I was not going to just sit and take the mistreatment. And I've worked too hard, and I'm older. I don't have time to be running around looking for another job and all of that stuff. I had a job, and I was quite happy with the job I had. And I wasn't interested in going out or putting myself back on the meat market to sell myself to somebody else when I'm, you know, 50. You know, it's kind of harder to sell.
Well, 50 ain't old. You're still young.
I'm still young yet, and at the same time, the reality is people want...
You don't have no kids? You ain't tied down?
No, and that's the most blessed thing I'm realizing more.
People hiring down in Texas. Bus is warm down there all the time.
Yeah. I'm starting to keep my mind open to the possibility of relocating if I have to. Yet, you know, I do have other ties here.
What kind of work were you in?
I'm a social worker therapist, family therapist.
Well, I keep my eye open.
Okay, that's where you at in Texas?
No, but I know folks. Somebody always calling me.
Oh, okay. All right, well, keep it open and let me know. That would be a good thing. So where's Chef Rob? The call is gone. Are they gone? Him and
I'm still here. I'm still here. I was letting you go.
We called for you a little bit ago. Because Bianchi was like, okay, I got to go. He got to teach in the morning. He's like, where Robin?
Yeah,
he's all quiet.
I was letting you go. Yeah, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you showed up because, like I have been trying to tell you, I've been in your shows a lot of times. They killed all my other fake names. So I've been there, like, you know, Wheelock was the one that I used to use a lot.
Oh, I remember that name.
Oh, you was Wheelock?
Yeah. They crushed all my
conversations.
Yeah, they crushed all my names. I had a bunch of them, but that was the most hated. That was the most hated. But look here, it's been a pleasure. I'm glad everybody showed up, and I'm glad everybody had a good time. Do it again on Thursday.
You know, when I first got on Blog Talk Radio, it was a white boy using the name Pianca. Pianca is my real name, and I just pushed his ass on out the way.
Okay.
I'll see y'all later, man.
Good night.
All right.
Good night.
All right. Have a good night. Rest well.
Yeah. Thanks for showing up. Well, that's my show. Hope everybody had a good time.
Yeah. Here comes the musical thing called Bring Your Queen and Lock Your Machine. Oh, yeah.
Pull up.
Here comes the musical thing called Bring Your Queen and Lock Your Machine. Oh, yeah. But we boo, yeah.
vibes, I know the victim I try. But me not coming at the dance I shop. Music is all we got. Now we must defend it. Dance no need no war. Man and woman apart, everyone is a part. Life and mama me God. Dance the people say. Yes, it's where everyone's gathering. Need no bothering. I just love. So everyone, everyone must say. And all the girls and dress, yeah. And everyone that come express themselves. Them dress to impress. One black love, one Africanness. But I say pull up, pull up, pull up, mentality from the top. The music on the street, but check the message that I got. In come the musical thing, I bring your queen a lot, your black. And the truth and the nuts to us such hot. Dancehall, don't need no man and woman for part.
Everyone is a star.
Like King Alpha and Mama Mika.
Dance,
the people's church. Yes, it's where everyone is gathering.
We talk for them.
I just love. So everyone, everyone must come. I know the rhythm of charm. And Taxi Gang is on the attack. Yes,
Rory has the control tower. Play them driven every hour.
Dance all, no need no war.
Man and woman apart,
everyone is a star.
Walking off on Mama Mika.
Dance all, the people's church.
It's where everyone's gathering.
We know for them.
I just love. So everyone, everyone,
rock on the me.
Everyone, everyone,
leave me.
Everyone, everyone,
bring in your swing.
Everyone, everyone,
music to
let me. Everyone, everyone,
must come together.
Everyone, everyone,
together.
Everyone, everyone, the sweetest sweet. The music hard, but look at the message that I got. Ain't gonna make a thing, I bring the queen a lot of clock. The truth, man, a duck, and then suicide. The blocks are in the building, and we rule the top. And when we come, my dance, I know we're not the top. And love is in the art, I tell you, joy is what we got. And I let her, I let her be, I tell you that.
Dance,